is Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Yeah, that time of week again. Boy, oh boy, have we been waiting for this one. Confirmation today that the Leeds Rhinos are in crisis as Brian McDermott gets the sack after seven successive Leeds Rhinos Super League defeats. The one at Wigan leaves them out of the bottom four on points difference alone. And with Castleford on the horizon, could the Rhinos be in the bottom four come next weekend? We will find out. Who do you want next for the Rhinos? Has Brian McDermott been harshly treated? We've had a poll out on Twitter, and the decision actually has caused a big split in rugby league fans and fans of the Leeds Rhinos. The Dragons battered the Tigers. Hull scraped past Widnes. Hull KR battered Huddersfield. Huddersfield in the bottom four on the back of that result. Saints narrowly beat Wakefield. Warrington scraped past a spirited Salford. And the Warriors battered the Rhinos. Meanwhile, disaster lurking in the lower leagues as Barrow, Whitehaven and the Cougars have all got the begging ball out. We might get set up a FundMe page, Richard, because we're always skint. We could do with some more money. We'll do that as well. The Bulls carry on at the top of League One, but what a day for Coventry. Record crowd for them. Well done to the Bears. Well done to the York City Knights as well. Both getting decent crowds in League One. It shows if you go about it in the right way, you can generate good publicity for your team. What your interaction at RL on RY? Has Brian McDermott been badly done to? Should Scoy become the new Leeds coach? We will find out. This is Rugby League on Proper Sport. A big, busy weekend to come, but we're going to be picking the bones out of it. And no doubt about it, it is Leeds in crisis. It's here. It's happening. They're going down.
You're listening to Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Right, Scoy, do you need a reference? If you want one, we'll give you one. You can have the job. Do you want the job?
My mate sent me a message there. Scoy, you're in the bookmakers betting at 5 million to one. So that just tells you about as much chance I've got of getting the Leeds job.
If me and Rich put a fiver on, that'd come down to about 20 to one.
So. Yeah, that was Neil Henry for the Huddersfield job. Yeah. That went well, that one.
Yeah, it does, indeed. By the way, I've got to tell you that tonight's show is brought to you by Bachelor's Peas, the UK's favourite canned peas brand, who are giving Proper Sport listeners and viewers the chance to win tickets to one of four Yorkshire-based Super League games in July. We've got a pair of tickets to any one of the following games. So Leeds or Widnes. I mean, that could be a real battle for the bottom four. Hull KR Warrington, Wakefield Hull, that'll be a decent game. And Cass against Huddersfield, all those games across the weekend, 20th to 22nd of July. As an official partner of the 2018 Betfred Super League, Bachelor's Peas is giving away signed shirts as well as tickets to Grand Final and England International games. Make sure you don't miss out on the remainder of the season when purchasing your tea time favourite. And Bachelor's produces top quality Marafat, mushy and garden peas. And it's a great way to get one of your five a day. Can even be on Toast Legend. All we've got to do to have a chance of winning, right, you've got to answer this simple question. What is the name of the Bachelor's Peas mascot? Is it Fan of Steel or Can of Steel? Head to propersport.uk/bachelorspeas and fill in the form to enter. Competition closes at 5 p.m. on Sunday the 8th of July. And you can visit bachelorspeas.co.uk for more information or subscribe to Bachelor's Peas on YouTube.
So the question isn't who's going to be the next coach of Leeds then?
No. No, it's not. Who is going to be the next coach? I mean, I woke up this morning to an email saying that Brian McDermott had been sacked.
Yeah, I got a message first thing this morning at 7:15 from a Casper. That's a good mate of mine. And he texted me and said, McDermott has gone, been relieved with immediate effect. And to be honest with you, Mark, I'm a surprise. Yes, I am. Leeds at this moment in time, how are they playing? Well, they're playing absolute rubbish. And there's no two ways about that. And certainly the performance on Thursday night. But I think we all know, I think they respect what Mr. Harrington has at McDermott, how they're all in contact, what they have from there. We noticed certainly on Thursday night in the game as well, Mark, you know, that the body language of Gary, he was literally seething, and he just, the shoulders were slumped from there. So, but still, I'm still very, very surprised that the timing of it, you know, it's is there. He's done a fantastic job. I think Phil will tell us that, yeah, he's certainly the most successful Leeds coach from there. But at the end of the day, somebody has to take responsibility. It's falling on the coach, but I tell you what, boy, oh boy, them players at this moment in time, they need to take a long, hard look at themselves.
I said to you after the game on Thursday, Gary Edington looked under pressure, I thought. Really did look under pressure. Now, I'm going to say this, and I said this before when they were struggling in 2016. For Gary Hetherington to sack Brian McDermott is an admittance that Gary Hetherington has not done his job properly. Now, we talk all the time about recruitment on this show. I actually thought Leeds had recruited better this year, but the facts are their recruitment over a number of years has been poor. You look who's gone out of the door and who's come in, and it is incomparable. When was the last time that Leeds went out and genuinely made a big signing that everyone went, wow, Leeds have signed him? They haven't done it.
There aren't going to be those sort of signings anymore.
Well done, St. Helens did it. So, they signed Ben Barber.
Leeds signed Matt Parcell.
Hold on, do me a favour.
Yeah, wasn't he the reason why they won the grand final? Well, played so well in 2017.
Mark Parcell is a very good player.
He is a very good player.
But he's not a marquee player. Right. No way on this earth is he a marquee player.
Mitch Garber, 2015. Right. What impact did he have?
I'm not saying he didn't have an impact.
James Seguiaro, 2016, what impact did he have? Matt Parcell, 2017, what impact did he have?
Right.
Richie Myler, 2018. Up until, I know Gary will say, had an appalling game on Thursday. I think on the back of the fact that Leeds forwards didn't go forward at all, he's been a good signing. So which signings are you pointing to that you don't think have been good recruitment?
I don't think they've recruited enough. I've said this to you before. They don't spend any money, Leeds. They do it all on the cheap.
They bought 5 academy players through this year.
Right.
Isn't that part of it?
Right, well, all right, that's fine. Bring 5 academy players in then and into you'll go down.
No, Jack Walker's been a really good addition, don't you think?
Jack Walker was in the team last year.
Yeah, only played 12 games, but he's been given the opportunity because what would have happened if they'd gone out and signed a fullback?
Well, they might have won
You've got to get the balance right between bringing the kids through and bringing in some players that will enhance your squad.
Are you not finally going to admit, Phil Kaplan, right, that Leeds are rubbish and it's because they haven't recruited well enough?
I don't think it's to do with the recruitment.
So
I think on Thursday they were really poor.
They were awful.
And I think that changed that. What's happened today is very un-Leeds-like. If you look at the way Leeds have recruited coaches during the summer era...
So why has he gone now?
Well,
then?
I went down to see Gary Hetherington along with a few of the other people in the media when this was announced this morning. Mm. And I've got the quote written down because I didn't want to get it wrong. A need to effect a change of direction at a crucial part of the season. Change of direction. What does that mean?
I don't know.
No, I'm just saying that's the reason that's being given. Change of direction.
I said this to you, Gary, on Thursday night. Is I'm not sure the players were playing for Brian McDermott. I think he's lost. Not say the fringe players, but players that have been, I think, messed about by him. Players that play 1 week, maybe don't do it wrong, and then end up playing at Featherstone for 3 weeks. And I think now he needs those players. I'm not so sure they're there.
Which players?
Well, I'm not going to name names.
Yeah, but also as well, Mark, and as I say, I've known myself, as we all know, one coach who was at least for a few years, and I couldn't absolutely stand him. And I would imagine, yeah, some players like McDermott, and some players would be delighted.
But isn't that what you want if you're creating a competitive environment? That the guys who aren't playing are annoyed that they're not playing?
Yeah, but are they being told why they're not playing? Are they being helped to improve why they're not playing? Are they being helped to improve themselves as players? I'm not so sure that's happening. I get the impression that with Brian McDermott, if your face don't fit, i.e. Brad Dwight, I asked the question to you on Thursday night. You can't tell me, right, Aston Golding is a better dummy half than Brad Dwight. I'm not having that in any shape or form. So why is he picking Aston Golding over Brad Dwyer? He goes to Featherstone and scores 6 tries.
Mark, it's pretty obvious. He doesn't fancy him as a player. You know, right. And it's like you Ormerod as well. How much game time at times does Ormerod get up there? But you can blame a coach for tactics and everything, but at this point in time with these Leeds players, they need to take a long, hard look at themselves as individuals and collectively, because what they are serving up at this moment in time is not good enough. It isn't. And what these players have to realise, it doesn't matter who comes in at coach, they can bring whoever they want in from there, but what the players have got to realise is they've got four massive games coming up, Matt, right? They've got Cass and Wakefield. Cass and Wakefield, their motivation is simple. They want to put Leeds into the bottom four. And then the last two games is Widnes and Salford. Their motivation is, Mark, is simple. We want you in the bottom four. So what great motivation for these four sides to put Leeds in the bottom four. That's got nothing to do with the attitude of the coach from there and what have you. It's all about these players growing some crystals, being honest with themselves, instead of feeling sorry. You know, from themselves and looking for excuses.
Which is exactly what Brad Singleton said after the game on Thursday, who said, it's not down to anyone other than the players. Yeah, and the first thing we've got to go home is look in the mirror.
Because I did a piece, as we well know, our good friend Peter Smith, for the local newspaper from there. And, some people with me were scathing with me, saying, Sko, you're being a little bit too harsh on Leeds. Well, unfortunately, fellas, I can only comment on what I see. And what I saw on Thursday night was absolute dross. It was rubbish, 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 pathetic, the attitude. And all right, if it's not working out for you, but at least try something. But they just weren't trying anything. Absolutely nothing. And the way that Wigan started out, you thought, I'll tell you what, this is a cakewalk. But it's a good job Wigan didn't play like they did in the first half, first 30 minutes of the second half, because if it would have been, it would have been a more embarrassing scoreline. So the players now, it's simple. However, it doesn't matter who comes in as coach. Grow some crystals and take responsibility for your own performances.
Was that performance on Thursday worse than the one at Castleford when they got absolutely
easily
battered? It was, wasn't
easily
it?
I think the difference is it's come a lot later in the season, which means it's harder to fix. So I think when something like that happens in round four, and you put out a statement saying the next 4 weeks are critical, you can build into something. When you've only got 4 weeks to save dropping into the qualifiers, it's a very different dynamic. And I think the other thing about Thursday night was that Paul Caddick was there. Now, he doesn't go to too many away games anymore. I think he and Gary would have met after that game and said, look, there's a real danger that we're putting £40 million into a stadium here, and I can't see where the next win's coming from.
Gary Hetherington looked a worried man. He looked a haunted man at full time at Wigan on Thursday.
I think he knew what he had to do and spent most of the weekend doing it. I think the other interesting thing is that there's a load of bland statements when coaches move on in football, particularly a little bit in rugby league, about it all being nice and by mutual consent. I think there was a degree of refreshing honesty in Leeds' release that Brian McDermott said he actually thinks it's the wrong decision. So, it's clearly not by mutual agreement. I think Brian McDermott felt he could turn it around.
Tell you what as well, though, Phil. Do you not think at all, because we've all been in Macca's presses, do you not think Brian has been too kind on these players with the performances? Do you not think
the last two or three weeks he's been calling them soft. Well, it hasn't been calling them soft. He's been saying they've conceded some soft tries. So I think he has been pretty honest. Normally he would keep that in-house. This can't have been done on a whim. So although we're not being told the likely successor, and I think that's on the basis of the fact that the players aren't back until Wednesday afternoon. They were already given a preordained number of days off because they knew they've got a 10-day turnaround. And knowing Gary Hetherington, the first people he would tell what was happening would be the players. There will have been some analysis done by Gary, and I think in association maybe with Paul Caddick, about how they could change this soon. There's no point removing a coach who is the most successful that you have had and not have somebody in place to come in. So they must have realised that this change of direction is a different coach coaching in a different way, and maybe it's just that slightly dictatorial military way of Brian McDermott's is what the players don't need at the moment, and that's what the change of direction
is. Can I put my suggestion of being out who I reckon should be the next Leeds coach? We know he's involved with the Cheering Whites at the moment. We know he's taking a consultancy role up in Scotland. Well, that can easily be changed. I would take Sean Wayne Mead tomorrow as a Leeds coach. A 3.5-year deal. Leeds now are in a change of destiny. Leeds now are in a change of this word, culture. If we are looking to get back to anywhere near where we want, I would certainly be a pro.
Would the fans have Sean Wayne?
Would Wigan release Sean Wayne?
Well, Sean's not wanted by Wigan. It's quite clear from that. Mm. You know, the massive.
But they could still win the grand final.
Well, listen.
Wigan.
Oh, yeah, quite easily.
Yeah, so I'm saying, would Wigan want to release Sean Wayne at the moment?
Yeah, well, when we talk about loyalty now, from a point of view from there, Lenniger's not been loyal to Sean Wayne, has he? So now, we all know that Sean is rebuking. Sean's a rugby league man. He's a character. I would have no hesitation. If I was a CEO of Leeds, I'd be having no hesitation going to Sean Wayne, offering him a three-year deal,
well,
and build
then.
His new
hold
destiny.
On, then. Are they going to appoint someone permanent now?
They have to.
Do they?
Yeah.
Why?
Because there's no point getting rid of Brian McDermott if you're only going to put in an interim. The reason that they've done it is because the genuine fear of being dragged into a relegation dogfight. There's no point planning for early next season if you're already in the Championship. So there is no point...
I think there are people
they can get now.
Richard and I, who have our dislike of Leeds for many other reasons. Richard is here wearing his Coventry Bears hat, by the way. We'll talk about them later. Good evening, Richard.
Good evening.
They're not going down, are they? As much as we would love that to happen, it ain't going to happen. So I don't think they need to plan for short term.
Then why would they get rid of Brian McDermott?
Maybe because Hetherington knows the players don't want him there anymore.
The Bulls fans on Saturday were singing that. The Bulls are going up and the Rhinos going down.
The Derby's back in the Championship.
Let's get some interaction there.
I think the Bulls fans should remember. You know when the Bulls were in crisis, that sort of thing? You know, what did Leeds do when they brought all the fans and, you know, keep the money? So I think the Bulls fans should keep the trap shut, to be honest with you. The Bulls fans are just what we mean when they were in massive financial crisis. So don't give me that rubbish about the Bulls. I'm telling you.
Can I defend the Bulls fans here? It wasn't the Bulls fans who ran up all that debt and then conned people into giving them money.
Yeah, that's a fair point, that is.
Yeah, but also, how many Leeds fans turned up there when the Bulls were in financial crisis to say, yeah, we're going to support you?
How many turned up to wave them off? Off you go, Bradford. Down into the Championship. There you go, lads. Do me a favour.
Yeah, well, you're loyal with Bradford, aren't you?
Do me a favour, Schofield.
You're still a fan, aren't you?
Do me a favour. They're not getting relegated. I'm telling you if they were,
of course they're not.
We would be dancing in the street now.
As has been pointed out.
I'm not sure Wakefield and Castleford would. I think there's quite a few Super League teams that do actually need Leeds there.
They're not going to go down, Phil. Well, calm down.
I'm not saying they will, but Gary Hetherington thinks there is a prospect of that happening. Otherwise, he wouldn't have sacked Brian McDermott. He would have announced, like he did with Tony Smith, that he's going at the end of the season.
You know what, Phil? Mediocre Leeds last year. Let's call a spade. Mediocre Leeds last year robbed Castleford.
Mediocre?
They finished second. Yeah, rubbish competition. Castleford won it by 360 points. The rest of them were rubbish. And if we're honest, we'll all admit that. Yeah, and they robbed Cass because Zach Hardacre is a plank. That's why. If he hadn't got injured, Danny Maguire played the game of his life and they won.
Hey, listen, in the grand final, Hardacre would have played in that grand final, Castleford still wouldn't have won.
Whatever, Gary. Do me a favour.
The way that Leeds literally played the perfect game for a grand final night, pressure game.
Okay, yeah.
If
Zach
Hardacre would have played,
would
still not have won.
Okay, Gary. Yeah.
Not a chance.
Okay, Gary. Yeah. Thanks for coming. Rubbish.
I tell you what, people like disaster, don't they? The Leeds thing is like a big carpet warehouse fire or something, because this is big numbers on the Facebook tonight. Even the other side have got people watching, and no one watches that programme. We should put this crisis into perspective, and of course, sport, it doesn't really matter. Danny says, crisis, are you having a laugh? Wish Salford had the same crisis as Leeds. You've no idea.
I'll tell you what, Danny, right? I watched Salford on Friday night, right? If Leeds had the same spirit as Salford had on Friday night, Leeds would be in the top four, I'll tell you that now. Salford ran their blood to water, they ran themselves into the ground, there were players out on their feet, and they fought right until the final hooter. You mentioned Mitch Garber earlier, against St Helens, he was like a tank, no one could stop him. He wouldn't have brought through me and Scully on Friday night, he didn't even look into it, I'll name him. He was poor, really poor.
Tracy says, Ian Watson, coach
I'd have that, I'd go for that.
Super League Robin says, JP is on his way back to Leeds. Give it to Giggsy. Stevie says, we want Powell back. No, we need Powell back. Well, you know, if I could coach one of these two teams, Coach Caster's ain't got a job at Leeds now. That's what.
So, what are the Leeds fans saying about Sean Wayne? No, will they not, do they not want Sean?
Well, we had one. Let me find it. Mark says, Sean Wayne, don't talk so wet, Schofield. I want him like another hole in my head. So there you go.
What, have you got a hole in your head already?
That's the opinion.
They won't want him. They won't want him.
Is the likelihood that Leeds will go to Australia? Because if they are, and if they need somebody now, then you're looking at assistant coaching positions where coaches could be released.
What's Henry doing now? Did he take up another job?
Neil Henry?
Yeah.
No, not at the moment, is he?
Not sure.
No.
Unless he's left the sport. But there are two obvious candidates who are assistant coaches who would fit the bill at Leeds, who could come over relatively quickly if you can negotiate their release, which I think with an assistant you probably can.
Hold on, that might mean Gary spending some money, so that's not going to happen.
But he's spending Brian McDermott's money, who, you know, I think that there is a budget there for a coach, and you would offer.
What happened to McDermott? Because he didn't have a normal contract, did he? No, he had a job for life contract.
Yeah, it was just like a rolling contract, handshake contract, wasn't it? You know,
well,
just to see how it
goes. It's clearly not by mutual consent, so Gary's going to have to come up with some reasons why that change was made. One of which will be they've just lost 7 Super League games in a row, which has not happened before in the summer era. So I don't think we need to get bogged down with the legalities of it. But I would say there are two potential standout candidates in Australia. One is obviously the favourite in the betting, it's David Ferner. The thing that doesn't sit at the moment with the decision that's been made is that Gary's always been about succession planning on the coaching side. So Dean Bell was moved into a different role, Darryl Powell was moved into a different role, Tony Smith was told that he would be leaving. There was a whole season to come to terms with that, to prepare, to look for his successor. Brian McLennan went at the end of a season rather than midway through a season. So the only one who got sacked was Dean Lance, not all of that for rugby reasons. There was obviously the court case that was involved in that as well. So I think there has to be an element of succession in Gary's appointment because that's the way Leeds do it. So if David Ferner were to come, in the Leeds coaching ranks at the moment are Chev Walker and Rob Burrow, who played with David Ferner in the 2004 Grand Final. They've got massive mutual respect for each other. You're almost saying there that there's a succession plan in place. I can see why Ferner is the favourite, and there is some logic. He's at South Sydney. They've got lots of coaches. I think that David Ferner has made no secret of the fact that he's applied for coaching jobs over here. I believe he would like to coach Wigan, but I think the Leeds job being available would be very much of interest to him. The other one is potentially, I would say, Danny Medeiros, who obviously assistant coach at New South Wales, who just won the State of Origin. He's doing a really good job on the staff at Newcastle. But I think there is one job that might tempt him back over here as a head coach. I think we have to be honest, Justin Holbrook is auditioning for going back to the NRL. He's doing an absolutely magnificent job. But you can see a couple of years down the line, if an NRL team want a head coach, and he's got his CV here of winning things, he will be on their radar in the same way that Trent Robinson was when he was at Catalan. So I think that, you know, Danny Medeiros starting his head coaching career, David Ferner going back to being a head coach, this job would be an attraction for him.
Right, so just forget about the coaches just for a while. So now, when we look at this Leeds squad, Watkins can't come back because he's gone for the season. How are we going to improve? The players who are coming back, when we look at JJB, Ablett, they can't change the game, but the Warriors. Delaney can't change
Stevie
the game.
Stevie Ward should be back for Sunday.
Yeah, Stevie Ward doesn't win your games.
They're your leaders, though. No, they are your leaders. Yeah, they are lacking at the moment out there is leadership.
Is that right? Or is it just they're lacking, actually, they haven't got a game plan? Because tell me, how do Leeds play? I go watch Castleford, I know pretty much how they're going to play. I go now watch Catalan, I know how they're going to play. Yeah. I watch teams, you go into the Championship, you know how they're going to play, what the structure is. I don't think Leeds have got
one. Well, you know why, don't you? Because we haven't got any halfbacks. No halfbacks.
I'm not even so sure I'm pretty sure, Gary, if you were to say to Richie Myler and Joel, right, lads, this is what I want you to do, this is how we're going to play, even if it's 5 drives and a kick.
Right, all right.
But Brian McDermott doesn't play that way.
Well, hold on here. When the players said talents 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah,
right,
outstanding.
Hold on. Yeah, this is what I'm going to say here, right? Because of how many debutants came in there, all the youngsters and what have you, right? I said after that game, when Myler comes back, when Munn comes back, and a few more senior players come back, they won't play like that. they won't play like that. And since then, they haven't played like that, have they?
I think they were pretty good with a depleted team against Catalan. I think it's the what has changed the dynamic is the how poor they were against Wigan. And I think there's a genuine feeling with the senior management at Leeds that they are being drawn into a battle that they don't want to be. So they've made a change. But the history of those people being in charge at Leeds is the fact that it's a change that is done with an end game in mind. They don't just sack for sacking's sake.
So what players are going to get us out of this mess then?
Well, I think I do think Stevie Ward is a huge influence. I think if you start adding...
It's only making 50 tackles. Gary,
the players are there. The players are there. They're you just said it yourself. The way they played against Settlers, right? Again, Rich and I don't like Leeds. We're not going to lose. I walked away from that game thinking, how on earth have they not won that? They deserve to win the game.
Matt, you've just said, you know, teams play to a structure. Teams play to a structure like they do week in and week out. We haven't seen Leeds play like that since Sevens. Have we?
No, but that's what I mean. Why not? So, well, and I agree with you. Why, if that's how you're going to play, then that's how you're going to play. Exactly. But that's my point. How often have they come out when Brian McDermott said, oh, I just told the players to play how they wanted to, and Leeds have come up with an amazing performance? You're asking me now, right, do I bet on Leeds to beat Warrington in the semi-final? Now, today, yeah, Friday morning, not on this world. Now I would, because I think if you say to those players, right, like, and they'll be saying to themselves, right, come on, boys, some of us have got what we wanted and some of us know we need to do better, and they will do better. I think there's players in that team that have got him out. I'll buy into that,
but I'm just not convinced of what I'm seeing at the moment.
No, there's no way on this earth. They need, in my opinion, look at who Huddersfield have got left to play. Huddersfield have got a brutal run in.
Yeah.
Leeds might only need to win one more game to stay up. It's as simple as that. Don't forget, they've got a massive points advantage.
And they have got players coming back who are winners.
Yeah.
Who've proven that they're winners.
It's not what it looks like. Just get the win. You know, and look, it's a tough one this week against Castleford.
A week after Wakefield.
Wakefield, like you said, will be rubbing their hands together. Yeah. But
so we can say that.
Yeah, but we can say that. But Leeds can produce, and I think there'll be a big bounce back from the team. I think some players... be interesting, some players that are on the fringe, they now come in and get a go.
It'd be really interesting to see who is in charge on Sunday.
Do you not think he'll go with Rob Burrow on Sunday?
No, I think he'll go with James Lowes.
Well, that's one of the names that's been mentioned.
Go on, then.
He's had a great time at Yorkshire Carnegie, who've not got promoted to the...
No, I think he is the most senior guy within their coaching ranks at the moment. So I think they would go with... if they haven't got who they want for
he's
Sunday...
He's not going to be here, unless
you wouldn't have thought. Unless it's Sean Wayne and he decides to jack in... we're going to walk across.
There's more chance of Scully getting the job.
Exactly. So if you assume it is going to be an interim or caretaker coach on Sunday, I would imagine it would be James Lowes. And I wouldn't see too many changes other than players who are coming back from injury.
Especially anyone who's ever picked up a rugby league ball has been linked with the Leeds job on Facebook. Chester, Tony Smith.
Would be an interim option if you wanted to go down that route. I get the impression that Tony left rugby league incredibly disenchanted. I'm not sure he would come back just to be an interim.
Wayne Bennett, Des Hasler, will need his hair in Super League.
Wayne Bennett?
I'll tell you what, there'll be plenty of applicants.
Of course there will.
I would imagine emailing, texting Gary Everett to say they're in there.
Have you texted
him? The job. Listen, mate, I'm 5 million to one to get the job. What's the point?
It is bad because Richie's only 1 million to one.
I've got a Barla level 2 coach certificate. I think I'm 800 to one.
David says, John Duffy for Leeds. He knows the players. David says, apparently the fans are demanding that Gary Schofield's appointed the new head coach. Just not the Leeds fans. Philip says, I think the only way Powell would go is if he only thought Danny Oro or Ryan Sheridan were ready to step up. He wants to be your top coach, but personally I think DP's next job is England. Would going to Leeds make him a better coach? Certainly not immediately. Got to be looking at a 3-year plan with good signings and backing of the board. No chance, says Philip.
Yeah.
Would Darrell want to go back to a club where he was...
I don't think so.
Other thing about Darrell is that he gets all the say at Castleford. And he knows if he went to Leeds, he wouldn't.
Does he, though? Because that was the old Hardacre thing. I don't believe he wanted rid of Hardacre. I think he would, if it had been up to Darrell, I think he would have kept him.
I think he gets all the say now.
I'm not sure.
Well, you've just made a good point. Yeah, fair point.
Michael Maguire, Neil Kelly with Gary Schofield as his assistant, Dougie Lawton, they're all in there today. Yes, we're talking about Leeds because they're the bloody main news story, listeners. Look at the viewing figures. You can see them.
It's amazing. Right? People don't want to talk about it.
What do they think we're going to talk about? The score between Hemel and Doncaster.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about?
Mick says, Tim Sheens.
Yes.
Heard it here first.
Yeah, he plays a boring style of rugby league. I'm not having him. Not having him. I'm not having a 69-year-old in coach of Leeds. I'm not having him. There's many good young coaches out there.
What about Brian McDermott goes to Hull KR, links up again with the director of rugby, who he is a personal close friend of, and Tim Sheens' last hurrah is to coach a team at the top end of the Super
Would
League
you have Tim Sheens,
championship
though?
When they get relegated.
Would I have Tim Sheens? Yeah, like a shot. Of course you would. Why wouldn't you have the former Australian coach?
Style of play at times.
But maybe that he tailors his style of play to the players that he's got playing for him.
Right, Phil, you know as well as I do. A coach at Leeds have been sacked because of the boring style of play.
Leeds fans, that's a long time ago.
Why did Cunningham get sacked at St Helens? Not because they don't want any results, because of the boring.
Hold on, I watched him put Wigan to the sword 5 weeks ago. Played great. I mean, by all accounts, they're outstanding on Friday night. So they can play when they want to. Maybe you've just got a coach who's actually been realistic. And when the fans are moaning at him, going, "Oh, I want him rid of him because he's not picking him up wing or picking him," maybe he's actually just going, "I tell you what, I need to win there, and there, and whatever happens in between, quite frankly, I'm not bothered about." I think he's looking bigger picture. I think you're being a bit harsh.
I think, again, not only a national coach who was fantastic when he was with Australia.
Yeah, because he had all the best players in the world.
And a grand final winner.
Some of the best players
in Australia.
Ever played again.
Yeah, well,
it helps, you know, Phil.
I think he
would. What I'm saying is,
would he have overall, man for man, a better calibre of player at Leeds than he has at Hull KR?
At this moment in time, not a lot of difference.
Right, what is the prognosis for Hull KR next year if he's coach? Is it to just try and scrape into the eight?
Of course it is.
Don't forget that whoever comes in at Leeds in 2 months' time could be leading a team out of Wembley.
Mm.
Widnes and Wigan fans both would like, or some Widnes and Wigan fans would both like Brian McDermott at their club.
Right.
Of course, he does have quite a good record.
Yeah, 8 trophies in 8 years.
Yeah, he's got a great record. Brilliant record.
We should say hello to Derek, who's listening from Afghanistan, where he's not allowed to wear shorts.
Ah.
Do you know what's an interesting thing as well? So, what I thought about today, fellas, as well, is sometimes I do get in deep thought and I think about the show and I think about the reaction. I don't think there's once where we've said Matt Dermott's been under pressure, have we, this season? Even though they've gone 7 on the bounce now, where they've not won. I don't think we've even said once, have we?
I think,
is he under pressure?
I think Mark used the phrase credit in the bank, I think, a couple of weeks ago.
This has come as a total surprise.
And a shock.
Well, if he had credit in the bank, that performance on Thursday was a bounce check, wasn't it? Because he had no money left after that one. That was a shocker.
Sean Edwards, Brian Noble, Paul Anderson. A couple of people have said Paul Anderson. He's got the England
excellent prop.
What he was doing.
Telling you, Sean Wayne. Fiend out for your
deal. They don't want Sean
new
Wayne.
Destiny, new culture, that so-called word culture.
Is he that much different to Brian McDermott?
Who?
Sean Wayne?
Not in the way...
So, if you're talking about a change of direction, would you go for Sean Wayne?
Yeah, I would, yeah. Because, Phil, you've gone about, you know, there's winners in that dressing room, the people who have won the grand final rings. How successful has Wayne been? At Wigan?
But is it a change of direction? That's all I'm saying. That's the exact words used by Gary Hetherington.
Well, the fact of the matter is, he's got a winning mentality.
Mm. Is a change of direction just not that we need a different voice in the dressing room?
I'm not sure.
I think he's lost the dressing room, personally.
Well, I think quite a few players are at pains to point out that he hasn't. But
yeah.
Well, you'll always get that.
Whatever. But you want that.
You'll always get that.
Name me a coach that's always kept every player happy.
Well, you can.
Exactly.
I mean, Dawn has pointed out that Leeds can't wait. Leeds can't sign Sean Wayne because he's got the rugby union. But maybe the Scottish rugby union will find out he's not really Scottish.
He's only gone as a consultant.
He's only gone as a consultant, so it's quite easy.
We said that last week.
He could resign his position at Wigan. Yeah. He could say the Scottish rugby union and offer his rugby league to come up. Rugby league's my first love. Scottish rugby union understand that. So that's not an issue whatsoever.
I wouldn't be surprised if there is a clause in a contract already with Scottish rugby union as a consultant that should a job come up in rugby league.
I'm telling you, Sean Wayne for me. Sean Wayne.
Brian says Tim Sheens know the championship. Could be a good call.
Hey!
Sticking the boot
tag Leeds in Christ.
Sticking the boot on Leeds, you're not getting this elsewhere.
Look at the smile on your face, Wilson. You are absolutely loving this.
Kevin Sinfield's not interested in coaching. Why does this happen? Why does this happen when people get sacked at a club? Immediately people say, ex-players who were good.
They think that the person loves the club and therefore will do a good job.
The one player who was always interested in coaching and who will be a fantastic coach and probably 3 or 4 years down the line will be the next Leeds coach is Rob Burrough. He was coaching apprentices while he was playing. He's doing he's overseeing the whole of the academy and scholarship structure at the moment.
He won't be sorry to see Brian go.
He will. No, and that was something I was saying. You were thinking about things on the way in. Brian McDermott's always been a very private man. It's always been about the bubble. Did this film do him any favours, do you think?
I've said this. I think that was... I haven't seen it, but I've heard a lot of the stuff that came out of it. And I said at the time, I think it made him look really bad.
Well, I don't think that.
I think it made him look really
bad. I think he let people into an area that historically had always wanted to keep them apart from. So you got to see some of the genuine interactions that will go on at every club. But they actually put it out there on celluloid. It showed him to be vulnerable. It showed some dissent. Now, you know it's there, but it's very rare it's put into the public arena. Mm. And I think, again, that tarnish wears off a little bit. I'm not sure the film has done Brian McDermott any favours.
No, I agree with that, for different reasons, but I do agree with that. And it's the magic is gone now. Mm. That Leeds. Gone. Anything else?
Lots of people blaming Mr. Hetherington. He should go as well.
I think he has to take part of the blame. I think he needs to take a lot of the blame.
Neil says it's a crazy decision with the injuries they've had. He's more than welcome at Widnes. Kev says we should have done a poll on who you would rather sack, McDermott or Hetherington. He's not a fan. I don't. Kev, do you prefer Gary Hetherington or Kieran Cunningham? Let us know.
Who was missing? Who was missing?
There were ten missing, I think.
Ten?
Yeah, according to the Yorkshire Evening Post.
Who was missing then? Watkins,
Buchanan, Ablett, Ward.
Mullally.
He's in the 17.
You need four rotational props, so he's one of them.
That's only five.
Dwyer.
Dwyer's not even playing, Phil.
Come on.
Next you'd be saying Borkaloon.
He's number 14.
Oh, Phil.
Hold on. He's a strong there. Let Phil clutch
all
at
right,
that.
So that's
no,
six.
But we're talking about
so
players
six.
That...
No, get lost. He ain't even been playing. No, you can't include him.
All right, in fact, so we've got five, Phil. Out of them five, who wouldn't make any difference?
Oh, those Tom Allroyd, were he fit the weekend?
Eh? Brett Delaney.
Oh, have they run out? I'll tell you that.
No, he's in the 17. Brett Delaney, when he's fit.
That's where Gary Hetherington's blown all the money. It's on the gaffer tape, keeping Brett Delaney fit. I tell you. Look, Brett Delaney's a top professional, but body-wise, jeez.
Right. As Peter says, he only ever used three or two subs, so exactly. you can't have this.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think New South Wales only used three subs in the first State of Origin game.
They won, though. Kynost?
Kynost, he's the...
Kynost, who were on loan at Widnes.
That's the tone you're giving
me. Because he couldn't get in.
Kynost will go fit when he scores that trick.
You asked who was available.
Ash Hanley.
Ash Hanley, but thank you. That's the other one I was trying
to
think of.
I'll tell you what, it'd be interesting if when the next coach comes in, what he does with Liam Sutcliffe.
That's one of the issues. That when you... In a salary cap sport, when you're earmarking a certain youngster to fill a certain role, and he doesn't because... He has a knee injury that very nearly wrecked his career. It's very hard to rebuild.
I'll tell you what.
Phil, that's 3 years ago.
That knee injury saved Leeds Rhino's season.
Here we go.
They have given him a new contract.
Gamble responsibly. What Barry's been on. Hetherington and Paul Anderson were sat together at the Cass Wigan game. No smoke without fire. Lol.
Yeah.
Jordan Lilly, he's missing as well.
Hold on, are we on about the Featherstone team now or the Leeds one?
Castleford had 11 out against Wigan and still won. Leeds got not use injury
that's
cards.
That's my point. That is my point.
I get fed up with me talking about, you know, I'm getting fed up with it. It's a 25-30 man squad game now, isn't it? You know, so no, I'm not buying into that.
No.
I'm not.
I think whoever comes in will say they've got some senior players who've got experience. They've got some really good juniors coming through. And the one positive this year is that five kids who could still be playing in the academy have staked a claim to be in the first team. I think, again, as a coach, you'd look at that and say, I can do something with this squad. And maybe that's behind Gary Hetherington's thinking.
Do you think, right, Phil, give me an honest answer here. Do you think, when everyone's fit, that Tom Allroyd, Harvey Newman...
Not Tom Allroyd. No, not for this year.
...are going to get anywhere near the
not
team?
Not for this year. They're still academy players. But they've shown... I mean, would you have said Mikolaj Ledski would play 16 games this year?
Mikolaj Ledski.
He's now starting to look a little bit tired.
He's had too much game.
Yeah, as in Jack Walker's just getting battered every single week and had to come off this week for the first time. But that's something you can work with. That's raw material. And part of bringing those players through and rewarding them with upgraded contracts you can't go out and buy marquee
players.
Stop
going on about upgraded contracts, Phil.
There are upgraded contracts.
What about Wigan, all these kids they've got? They've still got two marquee
and
players.
They've letting one of those marquee players go. John Bateman is a big earner. Well, but there is a balance in a salary cap sport.
Lauren Fresenew.
Mark.
But he's just listening.
Lauren Fresenew.
Mark.
You know what? Leeds could get relegated and Phil would say, no, there's not.
Try all you want. You can sit there till you're blue in the face. You can sit there while Christmas Day. You won't get Phil Kaplan say, Leeds are rubbish.
The performance on Thursday was abject and that has led to what's happened today.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. But Gary Etherington's all right, though, because he buys all the players.
I don't know whether he's all right or not, but he makes those decisions. Yeah. He has been the chief executive over the best era the club has ever had, picking up a club that was on its knees when he arrived.
And they're a well-run club. We should not forget.
Yeah, they make money.
They're not going to set up a GoFundMe page this week. Exactly. They're skint because they've got no money left.
I've just added up the numbers because we're on Periscope, we're on YouTube, and we're on Facebook. There's more people watching us than some crowds in League One this week, which is slightly concerning.
Well, hold on. Hold on. They're only 108 at Emel, weren't they?
Yeah. Oh, we always beat that.
Yeah. Big Tom's here. There must be a problem.
Check something's my phone,
happened.
He says.
Something's happened. He's broken something. Never mind. Right, well, that's it for Leeds. We'll come back to it. If you want to get in touch, you can do so. For people mourning, it is the biggest story in rugby league. It needs talking about.
I think it's the biggest talking point all season. Just season, been
yeah. When was the last time Wigan and Leeds were... without a
who was the last Leeds coach to get sacked? Was it in 2001? Was that Dean Lance?
Yeah.
Don't forget, you can, of course, buy the official Leeds in Crisis special. Not official merchandise of the Leeds Rugby Incorporated, but it's ours. We can't copyright a name of a city. Buy it now, shop.propspot.uk. 15% off with the promo code PROPER, and you can wind up all your Leeds friends. Because eventually they'll go and win the Super League again, and you'll be like, ah, bloody hell.
And you could be the next coach of Leeds right now. So.
Yeah. Do have a range of T-shirts for all your favourite Super League clubs that are in crisis. So if you don't like one of your other teams, get that as well.
I tell you what, I know Bachelor's Peas are sponsoring this program tonight. I tell you what, the Leeds players, get yourself some peas on toast, Dan, and get some mint sauce on there and get some a bit of aggression and a bit of enthusiasm in you. Eh?
On Friday... our very own Richard Shaw Wright was getting abused by the Wakefield fans because Wakefield lost, and of course, it was all James Child's fault. 34-30, the RSW's been getting lambasted on social media.
Solidarity with referees. I've got my Scottish referee shirt, and I've switched allegiance to Coventry now. Don't watch Wakefield. Biased against my own club, I am, for daring to watch a game and not see the bad referee decisions. Although, it's interesting, isn't it? It's fascinating. When you watch a game of rugby league, what you see and what you don't see. And when you're sat in the press seats at St Helens, you can't necessarily see a bloke kicking a ball out of another bloke's arms.
Well, it's interesting when you watch the game as a game and just go, oh, right, that decision's gone that way. All right, okay, fine, it's a game, these things happen. Yeah, what about North Wales Crusaders today, by the way, who've been absolutely robbed yesterday? Robbed. Hunslet had a drop goal that went about 5 yards under the post and he gave it.
But how has he missed it?
Well, he didn't miss it, obviously.
But how?
I don't know. It was an awful decision. He was 20 yards away, the referee. He must have known. The reaction of the players must have told him he'd got it wrong. Ian tweeted me earlier, said, if you look at the shadows, Ian Smith, former referee, Sonny's right in his eyes, obviously lost the flight of the ball. He should have took his time, consulted his touch judges, who from a wider angle may have not had the sun in their eyes.
Honestly, don't officials just look after all the officials? The sun was in his eyes. What a load of rubbish.
Have you seen the video?
I've not seen it, but Phil's told me, but how can you, if it, literally, like, you know the basic, right, of what the height of a crossbar is. You know, so...
Why wouldn't you consult your touch judges?
Well, I genuinely don't know. I've not seen him. He's got his son in his eyes. Poor excuse, Ian. Poor excuse.
I think the more important point, although it's of little solace to North Wales who've lost the game, is the fact that apparently there aren't any match commissioners at that level.
No, there's not. No.
So, you know, what are the implications of that?
That's the still of it.
Which is the best thing in rugby league. Here's a still image of something.
Well, that ball now is dropping down.
Yeah, exactly.
Not going up.
No, it's dropping down.
when you can see the Crusaders players look and say, yeah, that's going under.
Yeah. What's actually gone wrong here is what they didn't know is they were playing, you know, we had those great Rugby League, Rugby Union games, hybrid rules. What they were playing yesterday in League One is Gaelic football. Yeah. And actually, Hunslet should have got 3 points for that because he went into the goal. So it's an error in the paper today.
It is.
But yeah, it's all James Charles' fault Wakefield lost on Wakefield.
Yeah, you've had a chance to stew over the weekend. What have you made of it? Are you wrong? Are you an anti-Wakefield? Are you a bias against your own team?
I like people calling me out under names I used on message boards 15 years ago, when I also told people how badly the club was running those days, and I wasn't proved wrong.
So you're getting into bother now, are you?
Yeah, but referees make bad decisions, or make incorrect decisions. I don't want to say bad. I didn't notice at the time, because I was at the game, and I couldn't see.
So did James Charles not go to the video referee? No. Is that what we're saying? No, he didn't go to the video. But then again,
we got a penalty try last year against St Helens, so I don't know what people are moaning at. When people call referees cheats, and call them bent, and call them biased, and I think, what game are you watching? Because the only people who do cheat in every single game are the players you lionise and never slag off. They cheat all the time. Trying to con referees, but that's all right because they're one of our own.
Is that bear's cap a bit tight on your head, or what? You're getting a bit agitated.
All that badge kissing and all that crap. The reason why Wakefield lost is because they went 20 points to 6 down at half time. And yeah, no, they didn't get the penalty try. So what? Wakefield gave themselves too much to do. In the second half, they went in front and lost 20 points to 6 up. Last tackle play, Kyle Wood kicks the ball. Poor kick. Johnny Lomax picks it up, comes out of the in goal. All the Wakefield players are on one side of the pitch. All the St Helens players are on the other pitch. Saints get the ball, quick play the ball, out to Mark Percival. He breaks, passes to Regan Grace, comes inside. Two players miss tackles on him, scores a try. And not momentum, because that doesn't exist, of course, but Saints got on top and the rest is history. Well, why don't we slag off Kyle Wood? Why don't we slag off Tom Johnston for missing the tackle?
Can't do that.
No.
Got to blame the ref. Haven't you?
Why does anybody think a referee would have a vendetta against
Twitter, both sides accuse him of being biased. Yeah, well, he can't be biased both ways, can he?
But why would he want to favour one team as opposed to the other?
I don't know.
These are supposedly intelligent people who say referees are cheats. And if you can't accept referees make incorrect decisions, go take up knitting. Sport's not the place for you. They make incorrect decisions.
Is that not part of sport?
Exactly.
It is, isn't it?
Unless Wakefield were 100% set completion throughout the entire 80 minutes, they made more mistakes than the referees.
Isn't the question why have Wakefield lost so many games by a narrow margin this season? Because on that run where they lost to all those top teams by 2 or 3 points, why do they lose those games?
Yeah.
James Charles reffing every game. As a broadcast colleague said to me after the game, as he thought, I'll whisper this, he said, I think James Child is the best referee in the division.
Yeah, I think he's good. I'll tell you who's in good form at the minute. Yeah, it's good. Is that a timed cough or just an unfortunate one? I think Chris Kendall's playing well at the minute. I watched him again this weekend. I thought he had a good game.
Tim's noticed everyone stopped commenting, now we've stopped talking about Leeds. So we'll start talking about Leeds again in a minute.
Well, look, I don't know what you want to talk about, but I just thought, fair play, you were getting hammered. I found it quite funny. But this referee bashing has just got to stop. Someone from Hull tweeted me this afternoon that the ref had to send off 3 parents at a junior game in Hull at the weekend. I mean, for God's sake, just go and watch the game.
But what is the game doing about this?
Well, exactly.
We said this the other week. There is an element that supports every single club that is totally against the principle of it being a family sport.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, what do we do to eradicate the sport of those people? What we do is we put out an announcement that means nothing.
we put an announcement that annoys the fans.
Yeah. That says we'll do something and then we never do it.
Yeah.
If we are totally serious, we have to get to grips with some of the people that are following our sport.
Yeah, but then the problem is, Phil, it comes down to money, and clubs aren't prepared to spend money for stewards or police
It's a false economy, because if you don't do it, less of your true fans will come.
Okay.
Can't have people calling referees cheats.
Alan has asked where Phil Bentham is. He's injured. He's still got a neck problem after...
And he's doing a disc as well in his back.
I think he's... I heard him... He was at Leeds the other... A fortnight ago, and I heard him talking to a fan saying he were hoping to be back in time for the Super 8s, I think. So while we're all laughing and think it's funny when he gets knocked over, he's actually not been at a referee, which is his job. So it's probably been quite a tough time for him.
He won't be refereeing Leeds, will he?
This is the other thing as well. We laud state of mind. We have a state of mind round. We're big fans of mentality and Andy's man club. What gives us the right to abuse referees?
Paul Cook said the other day, sick of listening to it, and he said, what was going to happen, right? One day, so, you know, a referee, sadly, is going to do something really drastic.
Well, one of them did, didn't they?
Yeah, but that might happen. And then where do you stand then? Yeah. You know what I mean? If you're that bothered about it, become a ref and make it better. Do
or,
it yourself.
If your intention to go to a game is to look to blame somebody for the inefficiencies, and rather than enjoy it,
yeah. Always someone else's fault, Phil.
It would be better if you didn't go to the game.
Yeah.
It would be better for you in terms of your health. It would be better for those that sit around you.
It's not part of being a human being. It's part of it when you actually go, actually, I've done that wrong. And I need to that a bit better.
But also,
and you become a better person for that. Whereas if you just sit there blaming everyone else, it's always someone else's fault. It's never your fault.
But isn't part of being a human being tolerance to fellow human beings?
I think the great thing is people moan about using the video referee too much, and then when they don't use the video referee, they moan about them not using the video referee.
I tell you what, the last two weeks, Scott, I've been to games, right, and I think the referee's been great.
Yeah,
they haven't had an issue.
I'm just going to say that. I reckon this year it's been the best for a while, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
The only issue we've got
is that we need more referees. We're not going to get more referees if all we're doing is abusing the referees.
We're not going to get it.
I think Ben Thaler's had a really good year this year. I thought it was great in the Denver test, back to the form that got him some major finals. I think we're very fortunate that the crop of referees we've got at the top level
is... Can I ask you a question then now?
But
I've just noted the last couple of weeks it's got better. Is that because we're using the video referee differently as well? Because we are using it. There's no getting away from that now. Yeah. It's changed.
I think it's also to do with that we are now playing summer rugby in summer conditions. That there is a willingness for teams and referees for the game to flow, and the conditions are conducive to the game flowing. You know, most teams, particularly in the brilliant Wakefield St Helens game that we saw, just want to move the ball. And it, you know, we'll talk about how well Catalan are playing at the moment. They're moving the ball. And it's because the underfoot conditions, the sun on their back, it induces that. And I think referees are also wanting to see and be part of more open and exciting games. And it raises the question again, should we be starting the sport in the middle of winter?
I saw Mickey McAlorum after Leeds won at Catalan, and he said, these French boys, said they're like solar panels. He said they only work when the sun comes out.
Brilliant. But isn't that what we want to watch? And referees are helping facilitate a more open style of play.
Yeah, look, it's one of those, isn't it? But I watched the game yesterday. We did the ladies' game yesterday.
Good
Thanks
game.
Thanks everyone
Enjoy
that watched
it.
That. Brilliant. Absolutely. I'll tell you what, yesterday, I'd have loved to have seen you running at them girls in them packs, because those packs were knocking the hell out of each other yesterday.
Well, you just mentioned McCallum there, and I was watching the game on Saturday, and when Meade went the full distance, and it was hot, wasn't it, there, and McCallum said to Robert Hicks, why don't you just pull it up so we didn't have to all come back? And he says, do you not think I want to do that? But I just had to check it. I thought it was a great conversation between the player and referee. And again, this is what we need with players, the respect for both the officials and also to the officials respecting the players. And let's get back to giving respect to what they fully deserve, because it's just a shocking job to do, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is.
It is. Doing it all right at the minute, though.
Yeah, they are.
Where are we going now, then? We're at 5 to 7, so we've still got another hour to go.
I know, yeah, which is good news. People are upset, of course, because Ben Barber's only got a grade A light contact penalty notice.
For what was that for?
Kicking the ball when it should have been a penalty try. Even though the referee gave a penalty, so he made a decision. He didn't think it was in an act of try scoring, so people don't like decisions that aren't there.
What the hell is light contact?
It's a new thing.
So last week it was dangerous contact. And by the way, we need to talk about that. The Willie Iser challenge on Jai Hitchcock's out for the season, it looks like. Now, There was another one on Saturday. Michael Shenton ran into Mead. Totally accidentally, Mead lands on his back, doesn't get injured. But I heard Robert Hicks say, I said, it doesn't matter, he didn't get injured, so it's just a penalty. And I thought, that ain't the point, is it? That ain't the point. And that's not a go at Shea. We know Shenny well. He's not, you know, not that type of blah, blah, blah. But we have got to start. And last week, all them, oh, dangerous contact, no punishment, no punishment, no punishment. You go dangerous driving, they don't go, well, you haven't run anyone over, so we won't give you any point. They go, 3 points, plank. And if you'd have run someone over, it'd be 3 points and 12 months in jail, so, by the way.
So, again, so, Mark, again, how many times have we said it? Prevention going? Is the cure.
Yeah.
Prevention is the cure. So if anybody else does this, it's 8 matches.
Do we need to change the rule? Do we need to go rugby union where you can't, just can't, you touch the guy in the air, you're going off. Whether you've hurt him or not,
absolutely.
You're going.
You're being sent off. So prevention's a cure.
I'll stop people doing it.
We're not just saying it. People are going up the same in with the high balls. We said it with the chicken wing. We said it with the cannonballs. Prevention. And I couldn't care less if nobody's getting hurt. You know, there's intent there. You know, so stop it. And if anybody's there, you're off and you're getting 8 matches. Stop it, man.
It's like the shoulder charge.
Yeah.
You know, there was a little bit of accommodation needed because there was an instinct to shoulder charge. And it was outlawed. And there were some players that got banned and said, oh, yeah, there was no intent or malice in it. It's just I've done it all my life. But nobody shoulder charges anymore. It's an absolute rarity.
Yeah.
So you can get rid of stuff.
Yeah.
Before we get on to the next major point of topic, because I've just seen a tweet about it or a comment on Facebook that we need to discuss. Last bits on referees for the moment. Brian, he says, refs have changed the way they run games. Less stoppages for players trying to cheat and less referrals to video ref. Much better. Terry says, Rob Hicks has been the best ref in the last 3 rounds, and that includes his refing of Casas thumping by Catalan. We'll not criticise that performance, but can criticise inconsistency, like we saw in Tigers versus Wigan. That is for ref panels to iron out, which is nothing wrong with criticising inconsistency. Wayne says it'd be nice to see match officials shake hands with players after the game rather than rushing off.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. Totally.
And Pencil Edward says, and he was one of the people abusing me on Twitter after I dared to have an opinion on Friday.
Yeah, because back in our day, the referees just have a couple of pints with us. You know, the ballroom in Leeds or down back at the Town Hall Tavern or whatever. Yeah, the referees just come out and have a few pints.
Yet again, says Pencil Edward, you lot who pay nout to watch the game, telling us fans that we have don't have the right to criticise the ref. In the end, Charles' mistakes cost Wakey the game. I think most neutrals can see that, but not you, apparently. Well, what about then, Pencil Edward?
I want to know what Pencil does for a job. That's what I want to know, right? And then what we're going to do tomorrow is we'll go turn up and we'll start shouting at him when he's at work and abusing him when he's at work, and we'll see if he likes it. And if he does like it, then we'll say, I'll tell you what, Pencil, fair play.
You're entitled to have an opinion. B, you are not entitled to be abusive.
So do we go and, well, let's go to Carl Wood and say, well, that kick into Ingle was crap. You should be fired because you cost weight for the game.
I know of a former Premier League manager who was getting abused by a fan, and he actually found out where the fan worked, and he turned up. This guy was a butcher, and he turned up in his shop and just started shouting and carrying on for 20 minutes when all his customers were there. And the guy had said to him, what are you doing? What are you doing? He says, well, you do this to me every Saturday when I'm at work, so I'm going to come and do it to you, and we'll see how you like it. And they had a meeting about it, and apparently that smoothed it out. But it's...
Didn't a boxer do that? Was it...
that was Curtis Woodhouse.
Curtis Woodhouse,
he turned up at the guy's house, didn't he?
And the guy immediately said, I didn't mean it.
Yeah, yeah. So this is what I mean. Look... Bradford lost the grand final with that knock-on. Knock-on that never was.
I thought we were going to talk about the voluntary tackle then.
There's other things. But it's sport, isn't it?
If you look in a dictionary...
His fingernail.
What does...
Idiot.
What does supporter mean? What does fan, short for fanatic, mean? You follow your own team.
Yeah.
Forget the referee.
Yeah.
Support your own team.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy it more.
Pencil, you know, you want to moan about us more, I suggest you go somewhere else.
It's easier to
really
blame the referee than it is to blame Tom Johnson for missing the tackle.
Yeah.
I'm not criticising these players because I want to criticise the players.
Oh, here's a thought. Why do teams bother with video referee then? If it's always the referee's fault. Why do they bother with video analysis? Why do they bother if it's always the ref's fault? Well, they don't need to do it, do they? So you're not telling me then on Monday, whenever Wakey had the video referee, Chester hadn't ripped a strip off X, Y and Z.
Correct.
Why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing that? We need to do more of this. That happens.
Penalty count. St Helens Wakefield. Saints 5. Wakefield.
Nah, the referee evened it up in the second half, didn't he? Because he knew, because he was told that.
Saints 5, Wakefield 9. Wakefield will have had almost twice as many opportunities from penalties. Some of the, that's hardly the referee's fault.
I can't criticise what players do on the field because I was useless, wasn't I? But some of the last tackle players from Wakefield were poor options.
I just say, at the end of the day, the referee doesn't miss tackles, doesn't drop balls, doesn't give forward passes. It's the players.
Praise for Hull KR from Sid.
Hold on. Oh, hang on. Yeah. Sid, praising Hull KR.
Yeah, he said he looked superb with Maguire and Lump back. Vi signing a contract extension is the cherry on the cake. Smashed Huddersfield. We need to talk about, because we joke about Leeds in crisis and such. But here's Alan. The RFL need to help Barrow, Keithley and Whitehaven. And Alan, the question I would ask you is, why?
Right.
Well, how? Is also a question. How would they help? If Barrow, Keithley and Whitehaven were given a further handout of central funding, what would, why would that solve the problems that they've got?
What it would do is cover up.
It would
bad
paper
management.
A crack.
Yeah, correct.
Well, is it just bad management? Isn't there a bigger issue here? Isn't there a wider issue about in some of these traditional towns and cities that have always been supportive of and inherent rugby league areas? What are fans doing rather than watching rugby league? So it's all very well saying we need another 500 people to come and watch us. Why are those 500 people that you used to have not now coming and watching you? What research are we doing to find out why people in Whitehaven, Barrow or Keighley are not coming to the sport anymore? And we would use the example of Coventry, who Richard will be able to tell us what they did on Saturday. York, who we praised three or four times for initiatives.
Yeah, by the way, Coventry did have Bradford balls and took a few
Yeah,
but they've built it up to be an occasion.
Yeah,
but
like,
they started marketing that game after they'd had Leeds in a pre-season. Mm. When Leeds went down, they got their record crowd, which was broken. I said to the people that organised Coventry, when do you think you'll be able to do this again? They said, oh, we're doing this for the Bradford game. Mm. So, you know, what have York done? They've targeted games where they can get more people there because it's an event. They had 1,200 people for the game against Newcastle. Mm-hmm. That's nothing to do with the opposition you're playing. That's making it an event. So what I would say is where clubs like Keighley, Whitehaven and Barrow need to start is some work on finding out. If you budgeted for 1,200 people and you're only getting 600, why did you think you would get that other 600 people? Did you think they were going to
exactly
come from?
We've done.
Yeah. But if you're only going to get 600, because that's the core of people that will now support the club as it currently exists, you have to cut your cloth to 600 and not 1,200. That's work that we're not doing. That's nothing to do with the RFL, other than the fact that it's not about the structure. It's about where we are as a sport.
But also as well, though, because I was speaking to some Whitehaven people yesterday, and we were talking about this, and like, as we know, for the last few weeks now, it's 25, 30, it's lovely. So there's barbecues on there. Supermarkets are selling the beer. You can get 24 bottles of lager for a tenner. Why would you want to come and watch rugby league?
But what did Toronto do, where there is no history of rugby league? They have beer festivals. They have DJs for 2 hours after the game has finished. They insist that...
Yeah, but clubs can't afford to pay for DJs and this sort of thing. You know what I mean? No, entertainment-wise.
There's two things. One is you've got to make it an event. You've got to make it an attraction for people that go, where the 80 minutes is part of the event but not the only reason that you go. And you've also got to give these teams something that they can win. So taking away the League One Cup, taking away the Northern Rail Cup is absolute nonsense. Because what can the likes of Whitehaven and Keighley win this year when there are teams like Bradford in their division?
Mm.
And
I agree.
That's what we need to look at, not how many teams play in Super League and how many. Where is the sport going? The last 2 weeks, we've had 20,000 predominantly new fans watching in Denver. How do we follow that up? We had 10,000 for the first time this season in Catalan. And I think if you ask the 1,000 Castleford fans when, which is a superb following, was it about the 80 minutes when you didn't play as well as you could? Or have you had a good weekend out in the south of France? They would say if we could go back tomorrow, even if we knew we were going to lose, we probably would. You've had 1,500 at Coventry, which is their record attendance. What is it that the sport needs to do to get more people involved? And how do they give clubs like Whitehaven, Barrow and Keighley a reason to exist?
I agree. I can be consistent on this because when the Bulls were in the shtuck, I said the same. Just let them go. I said let them go to League One. Obviously, some of these teams are in League One, But why should the RFL bail them out for bad financial management?
Yeah, yeah.
Or they should say, well, no, what you can have is, yeah, you can have an advance on next year's money, but you're not getting that money again. That is it. You won't have it. So next year you will be in the stump.
Yeah, you're not getting
it. So you've got to do it yourself. And, it, you know, it's like, we make a point, the teams at the bottom, who are at the bottom, like Coventry, where you went at the weekend, a well-run club, have got no debt. London Scholars, I don't know what their situation is, but I'm not hearing them putting the begging bowl out of the minute. So if they'd have been able to go out and sign three players that they can't afford to pay for, they'd be a bit higher up the table, and would we be criticising them as much as some people
but the it's not just overpaying players for the hope that you'll get out this year and you'll get your money back next year. It's about what are you doing to attract an audience. When York sat down and said, you know, we need to change the way in which we interact with our fans, they came up with some brilliant social media campaigns that cost nothing.
Yeah.
That's the key. There are ways you can go and do it.
As someone's just mentioned, hey, you say can't afford a DJ. I'm not, you go to the student union, say we need a DJ, we need someone to come and play some tunes, we'll give you 20 quid and a few free pints. You would get someone. That is a poor excuse. Might not be the greatest example, but you could get a DJ if you wanted.
What, 20 quid?
I'm telling you, Gary, you could.
I think you
half the people who work in radio, Gary. Half the people who work in radio don't get paid when they start out.
Yeah, but also as well, at the end of the day, the crunch to all this is, and I say York are doing very well, I say with all the marketing, but at the end of the day, they're a winning side. That also helps as well. That is the main ingredient, the product, what is on the field.
So wait, hold on. Well, they get the same funding you get, so why have they got a better team than you?
Because they've managed the funds all right, and what we have done, we've not budgeted probably. Because what we have done, we have said, you know, for us, you know,
let's not just make it about you. Because Whitehead are only 2 points better off having beaten you at the weekend.
Yeah, but what it's, you know, we said, you know, for us, we're looking to get between 1,000 and 1,200. Our average gates at this moment in time is around about 5,578. So every week it's costing us, I would say, every home game is around about 6.5 grand because we're getting nowhere near 1,000. You know, so but it does help. If you have got a winning side from there, you know, so...
Would Keithley get 1,000 if they were winning every other week or they were in the top five? Would that make any difference?
There is an assumption there that people will just turn up. I don't think enough work is done by all clubs, but particularly the ones that are saying, please, will you just come? Is to why people don't come.
Yeah, but the main reason is you're going to come and watch hopefully attractive reply.
No, it isn't.
The complete opposite is Coventry,
who have got only 2 points this year, but are making it an event. And it's not... I accept...
Because they played the Bradford Bulls, and they've got 1,400.
No, Richard...
Right, what's their average gates this year?
It's about 500. But Richard will tell you, of people he met there that were not Bradford fans, that were
not rugby league fans,
from the local... who heard that Bradford were in town and wanted to come because it was part of an event.
And they had a craft beer tent, and they had a band on, or some music, or something on the other side.
And just to shoot you down about your comment, teams couldn't watch for it. How many times you sit in the studio last year moaning about Wakefield fans not going to watch, and they were flying last year? Mm. So winning rugby doesn't guarantee your crowd.
It's why are people not?
Well, it didn't help Wakefield.
Well, they've got issues. Well, they don't got the Wakefield, do they? Travelling fans.
Why are they going bust?
Because they've been managed well. Simple as that.
So it's not people not coming, it's people not managing the club.
Exactly, of course it is. Right.
The key message you got out of Coventry from the people who run the club, and you can see Tom's interview with Alan, the owner and founder of the club, is that they have a budget and they stick to it.
Yeah.
They don't spend money, they haven't got anything. It says in the programme, they spend less than the money they're given in central funding.
And they're trying
a novel idea.
They're trying very hard to promote the game in schools, which is not just to get players, which they are starting to get more Midlands-based players, but kids will bring their parents. And if you say, well, who are we playing today? Oh, it's Bradford, it's a big game, there's a beer festival, there's a barbecue on afterwards. They will come.
They've got...
How many Castleford fans who went to Catalan had a fabulous weekend? The only thing that they couldn't control was the 80 minutes they were there. Did it stop them having a great weekend? Absolutely not. The pictures that I've seen, that you will have seen as well on Facebook and on Twitter are all people having a good time.
Yeah, but philosopher as well, that philosopher, right, is, you know, having a great time before the game. After the game, Cass Fander said, tell you what, we've had a great time, but it's been spoiled because we lost.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't been spoiled.
You look
it's
on
the
social
event.
Media, everyone
it's
was saying,
event.
Can't know about the result,
yeah.
We'll be
going
next year.
I buy into that, but overall, they said it'd be a lot better if we'd have won.
But it hasn't detracted from the event. It didn't. Nobody said, I'll only have 3 pints instead of 4 because we lost. It's being part of that event culture of getting on a plane, going to a game, you know, eating
yeah,
food
support,
and drinking.
All supporters are going to Catalans, aren't they? They all make a holiday of it, don't they?
Castleford took 1,000. I don't know if
they've
ever... 1,200, I think. Right, so I don't know if they've ever taken any more than that, but they certainly were loud and proud and will have had a great time. To a lesser extent, Keithley needs to find out what the local, Whitehaven, Barrow, every club, needs to find out what the local people want if you can't control the 80 minutes that they're coming for.
Yeah.
And York are successfully doing that.
Yeah.
As an example.
Clubs like Coventry, who can open up the sport to new markets and new people, because these clubs who've been here for 100 years, people know about them. People know about Rugby League in Wakefield and Castleford and Featherstone, whatever, Swinton, Hunslet. And they're either going or not going. These people in Coventry have never been to a game before. Plenty of people who obviously go watch their rugby union side, who they share the stadium with, and it's a lovely facility there. People saying, this is the first game of rugby league I've been to. I can't believe it's not bigger than it is. The product on the field. And this is a game where they were always going to lose.
Yeah.
They led early. Everyone enjoyed it because they took the lead against Bradford. They used to be famous. They enjoyed the day.
What because was the hospitality and everything like? I saw
nice.
The pictures.
Yeah, no, it's good because they're a well-run organisation, aren't they? I don't think they expect people just to turn up. And York don't expect people to turn it. York got a big crowd against Newcastle. Not against... I know they got one against Bradford and whatever. They got it against Newcastle. And that's no disrespect to Newcastle because we've been there and know how great they are. They didn't rely on the name of a club to get a big crowd, did they?
No. You both went to Newcastle when Bradford went. And again, a common denominator is Bradford. A certain section of your crowd figure is the away fans that travel. But was it a good event? You were talking to kids that were spending money on sweets, saying, I love that, you know, what a great time. Will they go back the next game? Yes, they will.
I would imagine
some of them will.
Yeah, I would imagine they would.
People who went to Coventry to that game will have enjoyed it, and they'll be thinking about going to watch the game against West Wales or whatever in a couple of weeks. And they had a local junior team on the pitch at half-time. You're thinking, so we've got a junior team in Coventry, sponsored by the Bears. They sponsor the kit and everything. That club may produce zero professional players, zero internationals. Doesn't matter. Because those kids from an area which is not a rugby league area may one day go to university, may one day get a big degree or something. They may become influential and then they'll... So, rugby league might invest in that. They might do. Mm-hmm. They might not. And we should just throw all our money at teams that have failed.
Yeah. Well, I think the one thing I do get is people saying, well, the RFL bailed out Bradford. Look, in my opinion, as a Bradford fan, that was totally wrong. Absolutely, totally wrong. And I would imagine
and what good did it, what,
under
what,
a different
what
regime, that
do?
Wouldn't have happened.
But what good did it do, Bradford?
Well, nothing.
All it did was delay the inevitable,
yeah,
where
exactly.
Bradford are now starting to look
wasted
after themselves.
Wasted money.
I think we haven't mentioned Toronto in this debate, but they are pretty static at about 7,000 fans every home game. That's 7,000 new fans. That's something that no club is doing at the moment. So yeah. It's not an either-or. They are bringing something to the table.
Here's Paul, and this goes back to Newcastle again. Down south, my lad plays Union. Saracens put on kids' tournament before the game. Have to pay to watch the game afterwards, and then the bars are open for 3 hours after the game with music playing. We were at Newcastle where they had the Elvis Presley fella on in the stand. As a reason for people
they used
to
do it at Harlequins when you went there and you were invited under the stand, you could go in and they'd have a band on, they'd be blasting the music. It was great. If you're staying for the night, you think, well, stay here, might have no point going anywhere else. You know, I don't know what other clubs do, and I know it's hard. Being involved in semi-professional sport, it's very hard and you've got to fight for every quid you get, but I just think some teams... in my opinion, it's through bad management, and that's the problem.
But you also, I go back to the other element, is you have to give teams at the start of every season something that they think they can win.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So even if it's Keithley set their stall out and go, we need to try and get into the playoffs, and then if we can get promoted, that's brilliant. But we could win a cup. We could bring a cup
back.
Well,
I've just got a message through from Craig Poskett then. He just said, well, remind Phil, the RFL, the reason why we can't play for any cups is because we can't get any sponsors. We couldn't get no sponsors from them. That's why they've been ditched.
Well, that's it's look, it's a point. It's a
Could
fair
get sponsors
point.
For it. That's why they've been ditched.
Yeah, but is that the reason really?
What sponsors do you need to put on a cup competition? The women's
buy a cup for 200 quid.
The women's rugby league, which I think, and I think we all do here, think is the most burgeoning area of the sport, are at the moment playing for a cup that is not sponsored. We already know there's a final. Whoever wins it, it's going to mean something. I'm not sure you have to have it sponsored, but I think you have to have people that will go out there and get a cup sponsored as well.
We know the semi-finals, we're just not losing.
The last time, I think we may have done an interview with Northern Rail. I think they would have continued sponsoring the cup.
Why didn't they?
Well, because we ditched the cup.
Because what, too many games?
Don't know. But you need, as a club, to have an aspiration.
Yeah, of course you do.
A realistic aspiration. Mm. What joy was brought to Batley when they won the Northern Rail Cup? The final was in Blackpool. There were 10,000 people there. Mm. They brought it back to have a civic reception at Batley. I think they got 2,500 people cheering the team when they got back. That set them up to be, you know, a force within the realms with which they want to play. Mm. Why don't we do that for every club?
I agree.
Anyway, Coventry's great. I've got a hat now. They're my new team. Vinty says, Northern Rail Cup is fine, but the sponsors keep cancelling the games at the last minute.
Aha, very good.
If it was in London, they'd care in the media, but no one cares because it's up north. Joe says, it's expensive day to go out and watch a match. We say it's a family sport, but if I took the wife and kids every time I went, it would cost a minimum of £80.
Say that every time. We're lucky we don't have to pay.
We need to do research into that. If that's a reason why people aren't coming, is there merit in dropping the price of tickets, provided you're going out and getting more people?
We mentioned Wakefield as a reason people don't go is the stadium. Ian says, the standard of rugby is obviously poor in that lower division. The matches are in old knackered stadiums and the fans have switched off. Oh, the stadium's an issue. Nice stadium at Coventry.
I watched the game yesterday at Cass Rugby Union Club, which is...
It's where my nephew plays.
It's poor. Great. It's a poor ground. It's good for that level, yeah. But it's not a professional ground. Yeah, it's, you know, that's it. No, people sat there yesterday. They were sat on deck chairs. They were sat on the terracing. They're out in the sun. They're having a few pots. There are a couple of hundred people there. They were enjoying the day out. Why did they go? I don't know. That maybe we should ask all those. Why have you come today?
Is Barry and Eddie? They don't agree. Rugby League should take over the lower teams instead of bloody expansion. Coventry and expansion club. Are we doing things right?
Yeah. Excuse me. Coventry and expansion club that were there 100 years ago.
Oh, I forgot about that. Well, I don't know then. Workington aren't that old, are they? Is it Workington? Which one was born in the '50s?
Don't we have to be honest as well about the level of support in some of the places we've got semi-professional teams? It's not the fault of the clubs if the industries that supported them.
Yeah,
we've said it before, the schools, the pubs, the working men's clubs are physically not there.
Yeah,
we cannot play with
Keithley,
the cards.
I'm sure the demographic of Keithley
has changed
from
immensely.
From Cougar Mania,
yeah.
I would imagine the makeup of Keithley is a completely different to what it was then. And it's all right, people saying, oh, tradition. Tradition to come to tradition. Didn't they used to burn witches in the past? That was a tradition. We don't do that anymore.
I'm doing Featherstone.
On the basis, things change, don't they? But on what basis did Keithley, and I'm only mentioning Keithley because you're here, budget on having 1,200 people? Hmm. What was their average gate last year? How did they think they were going to go from the average gate last year up to 1,200 people this year? What were they going to do to get those extra people? It can't solely be about, well, we'll sign some better players and we'll be higher up the league and we might get promoted. It's not enough.
Well, Phil, I can tell you. Yeah, exactly. I can tell you that is exactly the philosophy. Yeah. We reckon we've signed some better quality players, so we are going to players, we are going for promotion, and they was hoping the supporters would react to that.
But how do the club know how many people who live in the conurbation of Keithley actively support rugby league?
Well, we don't, because we don't do surveys.
How do we go out to schools?
Yeah, we have. Well, we have started doing that.
Freddie the Cougar.
Yeah, we're doing that now. Yeah.
But that's going to take a long time.
It's not going to happen overnight. Yeah, exactly. You know, that's it's a work in progress. That's what it is. Yeah.
Also, on this expansion topic, well, it's not an expansion topic. It's become that way. Eddie says, keep rugby at home. Because small clubs have been forced into financial difficulties going to abroad. The likes of Toronto and Catalan should stay in their own country's leagues. Has the French League become a more open competition after the end of Catalan's play? I know they've got a junior side in there, but has the team won the title for the first time over there?
They got thrown out.
Something strange has gone on.
Ban all the foreigns. Get them out.
How does Eddie think the sport is going to survive if it just stays where it is? Nothing. It's a business. Whether we like it or not, sport is a commercial enterprise these days. If you don't expand your markets, whatever business you are, House of Fraser, whoever.
Would you regard the NFL as a successful business model?
It's funny, but who was I talking to about the NFL, who reckoned that, we're not comparing like with like, but all of the work they're doing in bringing games to London is a concerted plan over a period of time to have a franchise in London. And they have recognised the fact that it's more important for them to have a new market. And I don't know anything about American football, but they were saying it's likely that the club that would relocate, rather than they don't tend to have new clubs, they tend to move franchises.
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
It's Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And they reckon that there is more potential for the sport to be the London Jaguars than the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah. And that they'll get 80,000 every week at Wembley or Tottenham or Arsenal, wherever they're going to play. And what they've done is deliberately and gradually expanded their market purely by just bringing games over here.
Mm. But the point is, if your franchise isn't doing well commercially, they just go, right, thanks St. Louis, or thanks
for
Tampa,
the 30,000 that come and watch
Auckland.
Us at home. We can get
we're
80.
Off. Yeah, we're going somewhere else now. And that's how ruthless it is. And, you know, just because it's always been there, you know, it's like your corner shop. It's always there, but everyone goes to Tesco now, don't they? And don't bother supporting the corner shop.
Being involved in it, in independent retail, you have to keep reinventing yourself. Yeah. You cannot sit there and say, you need to come to me because you've always come to me. Or, I've got the same product as them, but I'm going to charge you more because I've got a nicer face than they have. You have to change. You have to adapt. You have to find out what markets you can serve that are different. You have to be a bit more diverse. You have to offer something when people come in and say, if that one thing is slightly more expensive, there's five over here that you won't get anywhere else than here.
Hmm.
If only tobacco sponsorship hadn't been banned, we'd have had loads of trophies to play for them. But all the ones that Andy's just mentioned, pretty much. Elsewhere, before we get on to other things of varying interest, John points out all the things Keith Lee tried to do off the field. Free popcorn and free candy floss. Did you get any of that score the other week, or did you leave it to the kids?
No, mate, no. Let the kids have all that.
Warrington had an armed forces display. How well loud was the cannon?
Jeez. How loud was the cannon? Christ.
We were asking
what this weekend.
Tony asked how loud was the cannon.
I said to Paul, they're bringing a cannon on here and it looks like they're going to fire it. And you think, And then the Warrington lads were stood like right next to it. And then the guy went, you're going to have to move. So they moved like 20 yards away. And then you think, right, it's going to fire. And then it fired and it was like a bomb had gone off. And you think, Jesus. And then they did it another two times. It was like, and even the Warren players were like ringing their ears, going, I can't hear.
Forgive me, the St Helens on, I've not got the programme on this, so I can't remember the gentleman's name, but they brought on this 82-year-old veteran who'd signed up for the Air Force or whatever it was when he was 19 or whatever. Fought on D-Day, helped liberate France and all this, and they brought him on at half-time to receive this really important French Légion d'honneur or something, I don't know. And it was a great moment. It was well done, Saints, for doing that on the pitch, and everyone really, you know, showed their respect to me. It was great. Parachutists?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, excellent.
As Martin says, thousands who don't care about horse racing go to Donny or Ripon when they put a band on. Maybe scale it down a bit, but it does demonstrate what Phil says. Every sport's doing the same.
Why do they do it? Why do they do it? Because York, no. Did they have Paloma Faith on at the weekend?
Yeah,
I'm sure they had a great gate, you know. A lot of the people going to watch Paloma Faith didn't care one jot the racing was on, but they still have had a few pints while they were there, maybe had a little bet
and spent some money. And the next time that fixture comes round, they'll go. And they might have another little bet, and they might put some more money over the bar. Go back to Toronto, and I don't know if Nicholas is listening tonight.
He is, but
he would tell you that he had no knowledge of rugby league. But it wasn't that he went, because you can go once and go, well, that's very nice, but it's not really for me. It's the fact that when he went, he was made to feel part of something. Wow. And it wasn't necessarily about the result on that particular day. It was about meeting new friends. It was about being able to meet the players afterwards. It was about finding a sport that you had a real empathy with. And I guess, although he's seen his team win more than he's seen them lose, he would still go. Mm. And a lot of the games that they've played in League One and against the lower teams in the Championship this year, where sides have been turning up with 14 players, hasn't stopped the home fans going. It doesn't matter that the 80 minutes is uncompetitive in their favour. It's an event.
That's what he said. It's like a Did party it? Every Saturday, yeah.
All right.
See my friends having a party. Women's Rugby League.
Yes.
Quarter-final to the Challenge Cup yesterday. Mary says, watch Tigers and Saints. A great game. Russell Smith says, how about Cass Ladies' Challenge Cup win over St Helens? Well done, Cass. I watched most of it yesterday.
What, the Russell Smith?
I don't think it's the Russell. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Bring back Russell Smith.
Saw him at Melbourne when the World Club Challenge was on. He's looking very, very well.
Cass, you were there, Mark.
Yeah.
I watched a bit of it on Facebook yesterday afternoon. The thing I like about Women's Rugby League is what you don't get in the men's game anymore, and people moan about it in Rugby League, is the different shapes of people. You get the old-fashioned prop forwards. I like seeing bash into people.
No, it was good. 30 points to 16, Castleford won yesterday. It was right in a balance. The big thing for Saints, they didn't kick any goals. They scored 4 tries but missed all the... They're all from the sideline, in fairness.
A bit like us last week.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, on the sideline. Yeah. They just couldn't kick the goals.
Hey, but... by the way, can I just say this as well? Do you know the commentary last week? On the PDL circuit.
Yeah, it's been put forward for BAFTA.
I'm led to believe you was calling somebody a beach whale or this sort of thing. What's all this about in the commentary?
I can't remember that.
I got worse than that.
I don't think we were calling it. I think somebody on social media.
Yeah, that one knows. We were respectful.
We were merely reporting it.
You were merely encouraging it, reading them all out.
I think you weren't denying yourself out of a hole here.
No.
Yeah. Back to the women's rugby.
Yes.
Great game. A real forwards battle yesterday.
In the heat as well.
Oh, it was tremendous. Cass got a length of the field try, Tara Stanley scored, and probably Cass just got the better of it, and the kick's a great 40-20 at the end. Brilliant. Went about 2 metres off the corner flag, scored a try, that wrapped it up, and then got one late on. Probably the scoreline a bit unfair on St Helens, but you can see already a big grudge developing there. You know, that is, they drew in the league, Cass just beat them in the cup. You can see when they go to Saints, that'll be quite tasty.
Here's Nigel. He says, Women's Rugby League is being played at the same time as League One and Championship, so burgeoning crowds can't watch both and vice versa.
That, again, I agree with this. And this is an issue, and you know we've got to mention this, that on Sunday we want to go to Castleford. There's a PDRL game. We want to cover that. There is also a ladies' game. I've got a bad calf. I don't think I'm going to be able to play. There is... a ladies' game planned after the game. We're going to do them both and the main game in the middle. But the ladies' game is now going to be played elsewhere at the same time as the men's game, which is like, well, come on, guys. Give us a chance. We want to promote your club. Let's do it.
Here's another one. This was a cup weekend. And I think the game that you saw, certainly the feedback I've had from Leeds played the British Army yesterday. Another really competitive game.
Well, we got someone criticised us yesterday for not doing the Leeds game, and you think, we can't win. We can only do one of them.
Right. But it's a cup competition. What do you want to know the minute the last match has been played?
Oh, the draw.
You want to know the draw. Yeah. You want to either know when the draw is, so that you can tune into the draw, make an event of the draw, or you want to know either when the games are going to be played or... What you don't want to do is hear that a draw's been made in secret.
Can you imagine?
And it's going to be announced the following day sometime.
Imagine on the BBC if Tanya or Dave Wood said, well, thanks for watching the Rugby League today. Can't bring in the draw, unfortunately.
We've done it.
They're doing it.
We're not allowed to tell it until tomorrow.
Tune into the Super League show tomorrow night at 3 in the morning after the snooker's finished, and we'll let you know who's playing now. And everyone will go, it's a fix! It's a fix!
I think the other thing is that the British Army were involved in the quarterfinals. Surely, again, as a responsible sport, there's some stories there. I'm absolutely intrigued as to who is playing for the British Army women's team.
Yeah.
Where are they from? What training do they do? How do they get selected? You know, they've got through a couple of rounds. You know, where were the stories surrounding this great team that have got to the quarterfinals of the Challenge Cup? You know, we struggle for participation, but somehow, somewhere, there is a team that represents the British Army women. Where would they play their home games? Where are they based? Why don't we do stories?
Because we don't. Because we don't, you know... As
but if said, we did, more people well, might exactly, turn up well, and watch as, the games.
As Richard said earlier, down there, you know, we commentate, you know, people are saying, why isn't this game bigger than what it is? this is a great product, what you've got, because we don't market it, we don't tell people all about it, do we?
But knowing a little bit about how the media wants to feature stories, the Coventry Evening Telegraph will go and feature Coventry Bears against Bradford if they think it's going to be an event. If 1,500 people are watching that game, that's a fair proportion of readership to be trying to sell a paper to. So, you know, all of it is in, it works together in tandem. And we haven't got that as a sport. We just don't get that. You cannot have a draw for a cup and not tell anybody. It's nonsense. In fact, I think we should be honest and say we offered to do it on the show tonight and never got a reply.
No, we did get a reply. They said they were doing it this afternoon, but they'd tell us who was in it tomorrow. So but we did get a reply.
But that was after asking four times if the draw could be done on here. It's wrong, isn't it?
It's rubbish.
We'll do the draw for the final.
Hopefully we'll have the semi-finals on anyway. Yeah. We will try and cover
them. Wakefield won in the Shield, so finally going to bring some silverware home for the Challenge Shield. I don't know if it's one of those shields that Nigel left in his cupboard when he left, but...
just go get one of them out of the room at Bradford, the trophy room there. That's laden with trophies.
Yeah, you don't need to get a new sponsor, do you? Yeah.
No.
Technically, they're on the market.
It's got a big S in the middle.
I think the other thing about trophies is, we mentioned this the other week, that the RFL have done a sweep of their basement. They've got 40-odd trophies down there, some of which they are now starting to use on a display, and you can have your picture taken with it. Why don't we reinstitute, you know, all right, we're not playing for the Regal Trophy anymore. Make that the League One Trophy. You don't need a sponsor. We've got a trophy.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I want to know what these 40 trophies are.
Soul destroying.
Robert's asked when the next PDRL game for Leeds is.
Sunday at before Cass. The first team game.
By the way, if you check out on Proper Sport on the Twitter... Tom went behind the scenes with us last week, or the other week at Leeds, and there's all the video of that, and I think it does include me and Scully getting abused on the commentary. I think that is on there, Gary.
That's some great tries.
Oh, yeah, you'll mention them, won't you? Yeah. But we got abused.
Great try.
I threw an awful pass that led directly to a try.
Great tries that weren't scored by either of you, that's what it was.
Well, that is in the rules, you know, you do know that.
They're passed the cut-out pass to number three, Stott.
Did he get my runaround? I thought the runaround.
No, we got the cut out.
No, the video was only 8 minutes long. We couldn't get it all in.
it's worth watching.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, so watch it. Support it.
Loads of stuff. Share it. Show everyone.
Yeah, let people know. Because I think we are going to look to stream either the women's or the PDRL game. We were going to do both, but circumstances.
You played at the weekend?
I've got my calf. How bad do you feel? Oh, come on, I've got a bad calf.
I've only got one arm.
My calf's hurting a bit, so I'm going to come on. It's not really in the spirit of the game, is it?
It hurts all, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does.
It hurts.
You don't know how fat and just watch from the stand and eat some chips. Never got injured then.
If you're looking for things to watch, if anybody hasn't seen the James Simpson video, who's just been made an ambassador of the 2021 Wheelchair World Cup, I think it's about 2 minutes long.
Yep.
It's a fantastic story. Check it out. Again, you'll be inspired to support Wheelchair Rugby League as well.
Yeah.
We've actually had a question from someone from Denver. Elijah in Denver has been on.
When is the next game? Is that the question?
Do you think it's unfair Leeds fire McDermott? Yes, possibly. Weren't they in a situation just like this and still win the championship? Possibly.
Is he still the American coach, Macca?
No,
he quit Sean Ruckerson, thing, didn't he, I think?
Who was his assistant, was taken over.
Right. Paul's asked if we asked Coventry about their youth development. No, it's too busy eating the food. But we're very impressed with Coventry wearing the hat. Alan's watching the show tonight. They love the show down in Coventry.
I think we need to say glad-handed again.
Yeah, Alan, you've taken over from Scully. You just go around glad-handing everyone.
I think Alan's a great story as well because he's from Ireland. He only came across rugby league when he went to university and he started playing, and he got so imbued with the sport that not only did he end up setting up his own club, but he played internationally for Ireland. He's a great story as well as being a top bloke.
Very good.
We're all big fans. What if happened to... Oxford, anyway, and Gloucestershire and Bristol. And
let's move on.
At least one's working.
I got a message actually about one of the former. Was it a Gloucester player? One of the old. He got dumped for steroids. He's in Love Island now, apparently. Someone messaged me about that.
There's probably more. Well, there are more people watching there.
Yeah.
Right. Nicholas says someone should buy an English team and move them to North America. They'd hate us even more. But if it's for the good of the game, why not consider it? That's it, Nicholas. Just wind people up.
Just think how much they'll all hate you when you start winning, like, the Super League. Yeah.
Paul says expansion teams appear to put in the extra effort while historic clubs expect things to come to them.
Fair point.
So you're counting an expansion team, really, are they? They've been around for...
No, but I think they've realised that to make an impact, they are working on a new stadium, which is fantastic. It's going to be, you know, we talk about facilities at some of these grounds. York have identified the fact that if they are going to be an event-led club, they need the facility to do it out of. But they also have looked at North Yorkshire, where I think that is a development area for the sport. There's people who wouldn't normally come. There's different corporate opportunities as well in North Yorkshire. A lot of businessmen live in that part of the world. If you say we're playing Toronto, there is a reason why they will then come. They will have clients or branches or markets in Canada. They'll want to be part of it.
Elsewhere, Ian Golden's been on. What do you think of about the new West Wales Raiders coach? They're appointing someone from Australia.
He's got a Welsh name, though.
Oh, sorry then. How do you think he'll improve things on the field as the club? He's pretty solid off the field. No debts. They run their own ground and make a lot of money in the bars.
If he's another John Dixon, and let's not talk about Celtic Crusaders for fear of tears.
For who?
It might work. He's certainly got the qualifications.
Please ask listeners, he says.
He might have the qualifications, Phil, but he ain't got the players. He ain't got the quality of players.
He's got some good juniors, and if he brings a couple of players with him, like John Dixon did, it's a start of regenerating the club.
Rubbish.
Ian,
why is it rubbish? Come on, why is it rubbish? Tell me why it's rubbish.
Because they ain't got any quality players who want to play the game. Are you not looking at results this year?
Well, all right, then we'll look at Keithley's results.
You're not looking at the results.
Yeah, but what? So what? They're rubbish now. People will remember. I remember going to watch Leeds at Headingley get battered every week, near enough.
1996.
Yeah, they were rubbish. They were rubbish. Right, they're not rubbish. Sport is cyclical, Gary.
Cass were relegated twice.
Sport is cyclical, and teams that are rubbish now won't always be rubbish forever.
I'll tell you, West Wales will be.
They've got to start with... What there is certainly at under-16 level. There are a lot of good kids playing the sport. They beat England, but Ian will tell you, because he writes about it for a certain magazine, that I think 9 of the under-16s are currently with Super League clubs. So 3 of them are with Wigan. They can see the potential.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Super League. We're talking about West Wales. Why are they playing for West Wales then?
Because if you can keep these players in West Wales and bring a coach in who might bring a couple of other players of better quality, they might be more prepared to stay. Isn't that the issue with London? That London are now starting to produce a new crop of youngsters, and before they've even had the chance to play for London, Louis Bearnick's playing for Hull, and Matt Davis is going to be playing for Warrington next year.
Yeah. But that's the beast. They're not in Super. If they got in Super League, those lads might stay,
might they? Yeah, they might be able to keep them. But until that happens,
if you produce 10 and lose 2, I'd say that's still better than producing none.
Isn't that
none.
Part of the strategy of the game? Deciding what we want, where we want to play, how we want to generate new talent? Do we not need to come up with some sort of measure by which the likes of Wales and London can keep those players without penalty?
I think, to be honest with you, we want to start looking a little bit closer to home for talent, because with the numbers that aren't playing the game, we want to start looking closer to home about talent, because they ain't any quality. There's not a lot of quality about, I can reassure you.
But people like Regan Grace, who I think we would all admit scored a fantastic try last week, had never heard of rugby league until he was 15. The reservoir of talent might not be in the traditional areas anymore.
You never know where the next big sporting superstar is coming through. And you probably would have missed this story. In ice hockey in America, in Canada, an 18-year-old lad from Sheffield, from Rotherham,
has been selected, drafted
to potentially one day play in the biggest league in the world. From Rotherham. How did that
spread
happen?
Your net.
We don't know what's going to happen. Ian will also, and this is why I've read his thing, we'll be doing an announcement tomorrow for a joint fundraiser for Scots Angels and the Danny Jones Defibrillator Fund. Please ask listeners to look out on mine and WRL social media tomorrow morning. Phil Kaplan is aware of this and has been very helpful. It's always helpful.
Good luck with that, Ian. Good luck.
Mike says, is there a better competition than the Championship at the moment? 5 teams completing for 3 places. Mouthwatering fixtures in the next few weeks in Toronto, looking more and more likely to go straight up. Who do you think will make up the middle eights and who is going down? Imagine this vibrant competition. That is the Championship. That, of course, people fighting for a place in a competition which will not exist next year because we're scrapping the eights.
But it's 2 divisions. It's vibrant in certain places.
Yeah, but it is good, though. Six going for four. Yes. Like I said, five going for three, really.
But I'm not sure that results like Featherstone 80, Rochdale 4 helps that division.
That's just life, isn't it?
Mm. No, I think, not life? I think we've created something there that has an inherent glass ceiling in it.
Right. Well, can we not just soak in on the good bit of the top six and enjoy the ride that that's providing?
Yes, but
before
I think that shouldn't blind us to the fact that the championship is a strong competition. Certain elements of it absolutely are. But the championship itself needs work on it.
Yeah. Well, you could argue Super League needs work on it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
very similar to the...
But the issues are not about the structure. It's about...
Is it?
Some of the things we've been talking about today that go much, much deeper that need investigating before we decide how we're going to change it again.
Are all three divisions not actually very similar?
Mm.
That you've
Absolutely.
Got... You know, Salford and Widnes in the bottom three of the Super League that are clearly struggling financially to compete on an even footing.
Yep.
You've got Dewsbury, Swinton, Rochdale and Sheffield in the bottom four that are struggling to compete with the likes of the teams above them.
Yep.
And then you've got London, Coventry, Hemel and Wales who are struggling to compete. Mm. It's the same in all divisions. Yeah, is that not just sport?
No. I think there are some reasons why that happens. Part of it is to do with, in the championship, is to do with the disbursements you've got. When a team at the top is given almost £1 million and a team at the bottom is given 150, that's where they'll finish more likely than not.
And one of the teams at the top of the championship also has, it seems, free run of a top Super League club's squad.
Yeah, but also, can I just ask, if we stop giving more money to the teams at the top of the championship and said that everyone gets £400,000, would that not weaken the championship?
Yes.
I think it would, I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
I think now we've got more teams than ever that can compete at a reasonable level, and maybe we should be focusing a little bit more on that.
But then the teams who are around about that, aside from Toronto, that are basically spending the salary cap of Super League at the moment, maybe instead of Lee, who are perhaps the two most likely teams to challenge in the eights, you're then comparing sides that are getting £800,000 or £900,000 with sides in Super League that are getting twice as much as that. So
Toulouse didn't make the four last year.
There's a huge disparity.
So they what have got? They'll have, what have they got? £250,000?
Toulouse, yeah.
And they're in the top four.
They are building differently. They've got access to a lot of really good juniors in the Toulouse area. But would Toulouse be able to go straight into Super League now? It's as much about infrastructure, how you can what you can spend on money that you don't get the salary cap for, as it is going out and just buying players.
There didn't enough quality players out there, Phil.
Well, that's another issue.
Yeah, but it's a main issue.
It is a major issue that we need to address.
It's a problem issue.
But you keep changing the structure, you're not addressing the issue of how do we get more people
Correct.
Playing and of quality.
And quality, exactly. It's a big problem. Mm. And it needs addressing.
Again, when you have the Super League going in one direction, the RFL going in another, how do you address that problem?
Whose
problem is it?
Anyway, I want to move on because I know we're doing our predictions later, but I want to look at some of the games that are coming up in the Championship this weekend because it is a huge week of Championship action. Toulouse play London on Saturday, and on Sunday, Halifax Featherstone. Huge game. Absolutely huge two there that are going to have a big impact.
The pressure games as well, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
And so again, you know, the certainly not just the clubs, but the players will know as well. Certainly from the financial point of view, that it's the must wins, aren't they? Because if they don't win, then the financial implications are from there. So the pressure is certainly on now. But it's great to see, isn't it? That's what we want. That's what sport's all about: competition, pressure games. Who can handle the pressure most?
There's another massive game in the Championship, Swinton and Rochdale.
Yeah, because
absolutely huge.
If whoever wins it either could go above Dewsbury or within a point of Dewsbury. Mm. So it is a big game, isn't it, at the bottom?
Mm. I think if Rochdale lose that, they're almost consigned to relegation. But yeah, the way Swinton are playing at the moment, hitting a bit of form. But again, another big game, local derby. Why wouldn't people want to go and watch that in the Rochdale Swinton area?
Correct.
I need to find a tweet from Joanne, our resident Featherstone commentator, who tweeted us in earlier today.
Was it on the back of your comment about witches?
No, because I was only joking. I like fantasy, really. I like everywhere. Because she was talking about comments made after the game. Here they are. From Alan Kilshaw, she said, always gets interesting when we get to the business end of the season. Alan Kilshaw says he doesn't think results like Featherstone versus Rochdale yesterday are good for the championship, and structure needs to change to 2 full-time leagues and a separate part-time league.
I agree.
Can
I think, and this is where I think all this talk of structure goes out of the window, because I think you need to say, Robert Elson needs to be going around all the clubs and say, look, this is what I'm thinking. I think in 2021 or whatever, or 2020, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have 20 full-time teams and the rest of your part-time. We want to know what you're going to be in, what your plan is to get in. And the door won't be shut if you're in the part-time thing, but it might be like the franchise. You have to wait a period of time before you can apply or prove that you can do X, Y, and Z. I think we need to grasp onto these championship teams and get, you know, the ones at the top and say, right, you're welcome to come in. And maybe look at how we restructure our game. That's what I think, anyway.
But he can't do that if he's only looking after Super League's interests. So exactly. The first debate has to be, do we make Robert Elston the CEO of the whole sport?
Well, I think that's where they've made a decision. I think they've used Nigel Wood and said, well, he didn't work, so we need to do something different. Well, no, why don't you just get someone else in and see if they make it work before you then change it?
But you're going back, you're not going forward. If you're going back to the separate Super League that we had around about the turn of the century, which didn't work, why are you going back to a model that didn't work? If you're going back to loop fixtures that didn't work, why are you going back to that?
Yeah.
Surely you have to have somebody that has an influence over the whole of the sport and that can sit the relevant parties down and say, look, I represent you all, but we all have to acknowledge that the bulk of the money that comes in is through this lot.
Yeah.
So that, you know, if we've got limited resources, that's where it's going to go. Yeah. But what we all want is something that works for everybody, whilst acknowledging the fact that there has to be some way of getting into new markets as part of that strategy.
We will see. I think, as I said, two divisions of 10. Play each other in your own division twice, play the other lot once, 27 games, playoffs after there, and everyone's a winner. That's how I'd look at it.
It's speculation over structures.
Happens every 3 years.
What's that phrase Mr. Hetherington used?
Yeah. Ian says you've been very quiet, Gary.
You know, it's a bit of a deep programme tonight, isn't it? Huh? Bit of a deep programme.
Deep. He's still wondering whether to put his application into Headingley in the morning.
I'd do it, Gary. We'll give you a good reference. Don't worry about that.
I'll put an advert in the League Express with like all the things you have to do to...
Like the England coach's job.
Yeah.
Very good. Right, we're going to do this prediction shortly. We've got plenty of rugby.
I think I was 5 out of 6 last week.
Hold on.
I've got to be in the top five now, surely.
Hold on a second.
Yes, I was.
Did you predict Catalan to beat Cass?
I did. I think.
I'm not sure you did.
No, I did Cass, actually. But everywhere
else... So that's
else
one wrong. Hulkia Huddersfield?
Yes, I took Hulkia by 7. Yes, and the rest is history. There you go. 5 out of 6.
All right, well done.
What did you do?
Not as good as you.
What did you do, Mr. Kaplan?
I don't know.
Did you take Leeds last week?
Oh,
Phil would take Leeds if they were going on the Invincibles.
Yeah, I would think so.
Leeds by 14, he said.
I'd be very surprised if I didn't.
Great range of clothes by the rugby league journalists, all in very pale, boring shirts when meeting Gary Hetherington today.
Yeah.
Where's Rod Studd when you need him?
Phil's on there. Yeah.
I think my predictions were rubbish last week. I did go for Saints, I think. So I was very happy James Child didn't go to the video referee.
Okay. Very good. Right, well, we'll do the predictions now then. It's 10 to... It's half-time in the football. Belgium 0, Japan 0, by the way. Right, the big one, Thursday. It's live on Proper Sport. Huddersfield against Hull. Scully.
Yeah, Huddersfield. Bit of surprise in... all right, not the defeat at... Ulkia, but the manner of it, and I say Ulkia literally just battered them, didn't they, from there? So I've been looking for a reaction with the coach now, Wilford, but Hull just getting on nicely. The form player so far this morning, time Jake Connor, signed a 3-year deal, good form last week. So yeah, I think they'll keep it going. Hull put the pressure back on Huddersfield, big pressure on again now for the bottom four where they're in. So I'm going to go Hull, and I'm going Hull by 12.
Right. Sicamano out for 3 games, I think. He's the only
Have you got a pen, Phil? I don't know what this is. I don't know if it's a torch or a pen or what. It doesn't work.
What happens?
Can't see what's happening. I can't write down what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I've got to say, your mate Bennett's Butchers on the telly the other day.
Very good.
Your mate Bennett's Butchers, the one. Yeah, they're on the telly promoting their World Cup things on Sky Sports News.
Well, great stuff. Get yourself down there. Quality.
Scotty, where are you going again?
Hull by 12.
Right.
I think Sikimana will be a loss for them, but is Danny Brough back? I think he is, isn't he? Served his ban.
Yeah.
He make a difference maybe for Huddersfield if Simon Wolford picks him, which I think he probably will. He'll be close, but just go Hull, I think.
Hull.
Yeah, I think Hull have had a kick up the backside last week, and I do worry about the size of Huddersfield's team. I'm going Hull. St Helens Widnes, how many?
Well, do you know what?
Although they had a good dig, Widnes,
yeah,
last
week. Yeah, say, again, we, you know, with Francis, same with Dennis, you know, we said it many, many times with the desire and the commitment, the infuse, has to be, they haven't got the quality, so they'll have a dig with Widnes, but I think Saints are just ready, Saints are getting ready to absolutely smash somebody, and it could be Widnes this weekend, so I'm going St Helens by 36.
Probably no Ben Barber injured, possibly no Tommy Makinson.
Stop padding for time, Phil. You can't
see Saints not winning, but I do think it'll be closer than a lot of people think.
Right, Wigan, what, Rich, I know who you're going for. Wigan, Warrington.
Well, who are you going for?
Who do you, even answer, I'm, yeah. Look, I think even Scott would be fully honoured to call me bonkers if I said Wigan. Yeah,
yeah.
So.
I tell you what, though, yeah, Wigan, Warrington, we were in the press, and we were in there last week, weren't we? Yeah. I tell you what. He's so much looking forward to this fixture because he knows exactly the disappointment in the Challenge Cup. So there could be some fireworks in this one, but he was certainly fired up with the big fella. So yeah, I'm going to go Wigan this one. I'm going to go Wigan by 12.
Wigan could put themselves 4 points ahead of Warrington if they win. I think you're right. The Challenge Cup's really, really rankled with them because that was probably their poorest performance of the season. And the fact that they played well for the first 40 minutes last week, I can't see Warrington having enough. I'm going Wigan.
I didn't see Warrington last week, so I don't know if they were just
they could have won by 50 or could have lost. They were that.
They've been like that for about two or three weeks, haven't they?
And based on that, I'll go for Wigan.
Yeah, I'm going Wigan.
I think. But again, when Warrington win, we won't be surprised.
No. Wakefield Catalan Saturday. This is a decent game, really decent game.
Yeah, looking forward to this one, if I'm honest with you, from there. So, Catalans have certainly turned the corner. They're going down that corridor nicely, plenty of confidence. If the weather stays the same, as McAlonham says, they like the warm weather to the French guys. Wakefield pressures on. You know what? I'm going for the form side. I'm going for Catalans to win by 10.
Yeah.
Finding it hard to argue. I think the big thing about Catalan at the moment is literally the big thing. It's their bench. It's absolutely massive, and it's coming on and making a real difference every week. Well, on the back of that, he's playing really well. So I think unless they've got injuries, Catalan looks so settled at the moment. I'm just going to go them narrowly.
Drinkwater Linkford, Wakefield today in the papers, apparently. I wonder if Chris Chester will make any changes, because he did last week, brought Liam Finn back in, moved Ryan Hampshire to full back, and Hampshire did well there, but I'd rather see Max Jowett there. Wakefield narrowly.
Oof, I'm going Catalan. That's the only one we've disagreed on so far, so this ain't going well, is it? Castleford Leeds.
Yeah, no reaction from us.
Live on, I think we're live, aren't we? Yeah, we are live.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be any reaction from us. Castleford, certainly that defeat in the south of France. I'm going Castleford by 18.
I'm pretty sure Leeds won't have a new coach in situ by Sunday. We don't yet know which players will be back, so I'm going Castleford.
I wonder if the new Leeds coach will do one-on-one interviews again. Castleford Tigers.
I think it'd be really tight. I think there will be a response from Leeds, yes. Definitely. Hull KR Salford.
Well, Hulkins and Rovers, they're hitting a bit of form. They're making a bit of a fortress to home fixes there now. So, yeah, they'll sort of have a bit of a dig against Warrington, but I think a bit of a different animal now.
You know,
back
if Hulkins win this week, they could still have a chance of getting out.
Yeah, they could get out of it. They've got the two men back in Maguire and Lunt, so I'm going Uckies Rovers here. I'm going OKR by 14.
It's a cup final for Hull KR, because if they win, they go above Salford.
Yeah.
So I reckon this is, you know, if we're going to do anything this year, this is the game. Add in the memories of the £1 million game, and I think, Hull KR will do it.
If only they'd given away a penalty. Hull KR.
Yeah, I think Salford, Ian Watson said, struggling for troops.
Yeah.
I think Hull KR could pace them, if I'm honest. Right, we need a decider. Halifax, because we've all gone the same one, by Rich going for Wakey. What about Halifax Featherstone?
Well, this game's always about Scott Morrell, isn't it? So I'm going Scott Morrell by 10. He always plays well against Featherstone. They know that from there. So Scott Morrell 10, Featherstone to get beat.
I think if Halifax are going to hold off Lee, who've got the best running of all the teams now they've been to Toronto, then they probably do need to win this game. Mm-hmm. But I think Featherstone are in just too good form at the moment, so I'm going to go with Fed.
It's not in Blackpool, so that's in their favour. We need to know which players are available to Featherstone this week.
Will the new coach change?
I tell you what, the way played last week, all of them. All of them.
Yeah.
Fed.
Yeah, I'm going Fev as well. Pretty good. Right, what do we want to finish on then? A couple of minutes left. Thanks for everyone that's got in touch with their predictions. Steve Cram is going Wakefield by 40.
Mm. 40.
40. 40, sorry.
Yeah. I'm intrigued, you know, when Wednesday, you know, when the announcement's going to be made about who's going to be taking over Leeds, is it going to be a coach on a 2.5, 3.5 year deal, or is it going to be an interim coach? I think this is going to be very, very interesting when the announcement gets made on Wednesday.
I don't know if there'll be an announcement on Wednesday. I think they'll tell the players what is happening in the interim. I don't know whether there'll be any public announcement. But the players will need to know who is going to be coaching, certainly for Sunday.
Well, the supporters want to know who's going to be leading the side against Cass. But, you know.
Well, I suspect it might be Jimmy Lowe's for this week.
So I'm looking forward to that news when it breaks. To say from there,
are you expecting a call?
They're going to take us. Phil, I think you know the answer to that, don't you?
Interim coach? Just go and motivate. Leave the science to everybody else.
I'd motivate that Miler, I'll tell you. I'd motivate him. Boy, oh boy, would I rip into him.
Yeah, because you'd send him to Fev, though. That's the problem.
That's what I'd do. Hey, get you sitting down Post Office Road for a couple of games.
If you hadn't lost to Warrington the other week, it could have been Chris Godfrey, but, you know, blew him by losing that trophy, didn't he? Andy says, Ben Westwood. Playing his 500th
game.
He's
fantastic. Getting better. I thought he was done 2 years ago, Westwood. He's getting better now.
But he's been spelled, isn't he? You know, so then you get the best out of him. He's become an impact player now. Boy, oh boy, the way he's playing, he's making an impact, isn't he?
Yeah, playing well.
Well done, Steve Price.
Used to be a centre back in the olden days until Warrington prized him away because Wakefield was skinned.
Yeah.
I think they got the better.
You're not bitter, though, are you?
No, they got the better. I like Ben Westwood because he's just some daft lad from Normanton, isn't he? But as opposed to other daft lads from Normanton, he keeps his nose clean.
Move on. Right, that's it then. We've got live rugby, Huddersfield Hull on Thursday. On Sunday, we're at Cass against Leeds. Friday night, we have got the Bulls. Bulls live against Newcastle, playing on Friday night. I'm not entirely sure why, but they are. Bulls are playing Newcastle at Oddsall on Thursday. That'll be on Proper Sport. And hopefully on Sunday, if we don't have the ladies, we will have the PDRL Leeds Castleford. So all that to get stuck into as well. I am only 80% through the no helmets required, so we will review that. I have got an interview to play out with Gav Willissey, who wrote that, but he's a belter, actually. It's an unbelievable story. And I'm still waiting my copy to arrive that we can give away, so hopefully it'll be here next week. Apologies to Gav. Thanks to the legend. Thank you, as ever, Gary. Good luck with your application. We've put one in for you. Fingers crossed you'll get it. Rich, thanks as ever. Coventry's new biggest
fan. Up the
fan.
Bears.
Thanks to Phil.
Go on, you Bears.
One day we'll admit Leeds are rubbish, but that day, even though Leeds are in crisis, we've not quite reached it yet. Never mind. That's as far as we go tonight. We'll give you the news coming up at 8 o'clock. Download the podcast. We'll see you again next week.